with cancer. CureSearch.org is a website that can help. It connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Seducing teen girls online is easy. They love talking to
someone older I can trust. They understand me better than other
teen girls are very trusting. You can wear down the suspicions they
have an understanding of real love. They know nothing matters when you're totally in love.
Love is the final piece of the puzzle. They believe anything I tell them because
I don't see why you shouldn't meet someone you trust. I mean, there's no danger in
meeting them is always the goal. That's when things get really interesting.
Online predators know what they're doing. Do you?
Visit cybertipline.com. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
Equal pay for equal work. Men and women alike have a right to a full day's pay for a full day's work. Unfortunately, there are still employers who haven't got that message. I'm Margaret Blackshear, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thanks to the Equal Pay Act, all women can expect to get equal pay for equal work. If you believe you're getting paid less because you're a woman, call the Illinois Department of Labor at 1-866-372-4365.
I've had a long and full life. Marriage, jobs, kids, then the grandchildren came along. It took hard work and a lot of planning. But one thing I didn't plan on was macular degeneration. It's stealing my eyesight and my independence, and the disease will reach epidemic proportions as my children age. Call 1-800-437-2423 for free information from Macular Degeneration Research. 1-800-437-2423.
Time now for another edition of the Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Struggle.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, in the brothers.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Ooh, get to me. My goodness gracious. My goodness gracious, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the number. We have a lot of important races coming down. And before I get to some of the national ones, I want to remind everybody of some stories that we have coming to us today. We have in the 7 o'clock hour. There's been quite a bit of action and movement and heat going on in the Riverview Garden School District. We're going to be talking to school board member Marlene Terry, the vice president of the Riverview Garden School District. She is going to be on the air today. Some major changes happened yesterday, and we're going to be talking about that because it's a real heads up about what we should be doing in our school district and also just in the politics of all of what happens in school districts. It is no coincidence that we are seeing a concerted effort to get control of our school districts. It's no coincidence. We're going to be talking about that in the next hour. Also, on Wednesday, Elon Harris is going to be my guest. He's going to be talking about his book, Say a Little Prayer. It's a good book. It embraces a number of issues that might surprise you. Black mega churches. Politics of black churches in the age of faith-based initiatives. It also is about taking a stance. You know, what do you really stand for? Say a Little Prayer. Elon Harris is going to be my guest on Wednesday. That would be tomorrow. You don't want to miss that. I'm very excited about that interview. My goodness. And don't forget on Saturday at 9 o'clock at 1020 North Taylor, let the discussion begin. A collective. That's what we are doing, Irene J. Smith and myself, as we prepare ourselves for all of the upcoming elections, all of the upcoming issues. How do we arm ourselves? We're going to be talking about the Team 4 plan this Saturday, and its connection to eminent domain, its connection to charter schools, and its connection to the voter ID bill. And there's a connection. There's a plan. And we need to know, we need to begin our planning. So next Saturday at 9 a.m., you need to come on out. Continental breakfast will be served to 1020 North Taylor. That's the fire building. You definitely need to be there this Saturday at 9 o'clock. That's 1020 North Taylor, 9 o'clock. 1020 North Taylor. My name is Liz Brown. We have much to attend to. There are primaries today. Primaries in Alabama for governor. Primaries in California. A Senate seat in Montana. And a House contest. A few House contests. The most watched congressional contest is the only one that will actually put somebody in office. A special election in Southern California to replace the Dukester. The Dukester. I got an email from a listener from Barcelona, Spain, who corrected me. It wasn't actually a commode like we think of. It's a chest of drawers. It was just so delicious to be able to talk about his commode. Nevertheless, the Dukester, the thief, the squanderer of your money, the look you in the face and lie hard to you, Republican. In jail where he should be. But there's a race right now, and the race that people are watching is that race in California. Democrats hope to win what has been, this is a conservative Republican stronghold. And this race is being viewed as a, what's the word? I've always found this such an interesting word. The bellwether. The bellwether for fall midterm elections. 8 states are holding primaries. Polls open in Mississippi. MISSISSIPPI, New Jersey, New Mexico, South Dakota, Iowa, and there is an open governor's seat in Montana. Revelations that a 3-term Republican Senator Conrad Burns had ties to who else? Jack Abramoff. The race is really which Democrat is going to face off against him. In Alabama, there's a tax policy, social conservatism, and immigration. Republican governor there, Bob Riley, had all these tax increases, and so now Republicans are coming after him. So, and also there's a spirited race there to be the Democrat that challenges him. Former judge Roy Moore, you know him. He's the one that refused to move the Ten Commandments. He's challenging Bob Riley for the GOP nomination after gaining social conservatives' attention when he tried to put him in the courthouse. Among the Democrats that are hoping to get to take on and to get Governor Riley's job is former Governor Don Siegelman. Four five four oh 400 is my phone number. You need to get up. You need to get to me. And we can't forget as we look at the races that are going on. We have to keep our finger on the pulse. We got to keep the beat on, our beat on Joe Lieberman. Because word on the street is they're feeling us here on the wake-up call. We've been talking about Joe Lieberman for a long time. And now the word on the street, the beat on the street is that Joe Lieberman could become a casualty, a political casualty for his consistent, unrelenting, in your face to Democrats. You need to stand behind George Bush or shut up. That's Joe Lieberman to Democrats. Well, he has some competition, excellent competition, I mind you. Ned Lamont, underdog to unseat Lieberman. Senator Lieberman, as Lamont said, Senator Lieberman has cheered on the president every step of the way when it comes to the invasion of Iraq. He's wrong on the big issues of the day, and he's not challenging the Bush administration. And that's really the mantra that really needs. He's wrong on Hillary Clinton is wrong on the big issues. Wrong on the big issues. Lieberman acknowledges his support for the war, and he acknowledges that it runs counter to sentiment in Connecticut, where more than 60% of the voters believe that the war is wrong. But he also points to a poll showing just 15% of the state voters who would support a candidate based solely on his position in Iraq. Huh. I don't think you get it. I don't think that you get it. Talking about, I mean, one of the things that's happening to Lieberman right now is the criticism is building. His 2004 presidential candidacy fell flat, and criticism from the left has intensified, especially after a Wall Street Journal published an article last year that Lieberman wrote, headline, "Our Troops Must Stay," and he chided Democrats for criticizing Bush on the war. Huh. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Here's what Lieberman says. Oh, wait a minute. Tell me if this is a Democrat or a Republican. We can't let the enemy know what we're doing the next day, and we can't let our allies think we're going to be there forever, huh? 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 Sounds just like a Republican, doesn't it? It's going to be interesting. Because it is so, it is not simply, although it's a big deal, it is not simply that Lieberman supports the war. It is all of the steps that he has taken to support the war. It's one thing to have a principled stance on something. I believe in the war. Say it loud. I believe in preemptive strikes, and I believe that we should continue to kill there. Say it loud. You know, I love war and I'm proud. Cool. All right, say it. But we have to also look at all the other things that come along with that. For you to challenge Democrats in defense of George Bush with all of the things that George Bush has done, contrary to the issues and the principles of the Democratic Party, that shows that you go way too far. You know, be a Republican. Run as a Republican. Be a man. Say you're a Republican and be done with it. Because the Democrats are supposed to be the opposition party, not the capitulation party, not Republican light. And that's what Lieberman is. And does it sound like somebody is concerned about his Democratic challenger? I think so. Check this out. Lieberman has refused to rule out an independent bid if he loses the primary, giving rise to the Democratic fears that he could split their vote and give the seat to Republican candidate So tell me, are you a Democrat or are you a Republican front man? Are you a Democrat or are you a Republican front man? Oh, you would still run as an independent even if you lost. And what was the quote he said? I'm proud to be a Democrat, but I'm not ruling out running as an independent. 4540400 is my phone number. Get to me. Maurice.
Yes, how you doing?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm very good this morning. I got a couple comments. One, I'm a total agreement with you about Lieberman. This guy is a work of art.
Yeah.
And you should see through him very clearly. A lot of people should see through him. Should have saw through him years ago, but, you know, who's to tell, you know, what's on the voters' minds, you know, any given day. But I got one question for you. What's your take on Senator Biden? I've seen this guy on numerous talk shows. He was on a talk show recently this past Sunday. And I've heard him speak a few times. And, you know, he comes across, you know, as I would think, a strong possible presidential candidate, stronger than I think Hillary would be.
Well, I think Biden is jafaking it, not to the same level as Lieberman. Here's something that I heard out of his own mouth. I watched the words come out of his mouth on Meet the Press one morning. Okay. And I just thought, what a fake you are. And what you do nothing for me. They asked him the question. Russert asked him the question. He said, you've been to, first Russert made the observation, you've been to this state, you've been to this city, you've been to this city, you've been to this city, you've been to this city. Sounds like you're trying to feel out the waters for a presidential run. And Biden, you know, played the coy little blushing bride type of a thing. Oh, maybe I am, maybe I'm not. Then Russert asked him the question, have you been to New Orleans yet? And Biden said, I didn't want to go down there because it would have been kind of like showboating. I plan on going down there. So tell me, how can a guy that's been to Iraq, a guy that's been all over the country, you know, checking out whether or not he's going to be running for president or not, and he hadn't been to New Orleans yet?
That says a lot.
Okay? So it's huge. Yes. That is huge.
Yes. I've been trying to get a feel for this guy. And, you know, I've been looking for, like, things on his voting record.
Mm-hmm. He's supported.
There's nothing that really stands out about him.
That's fact.
So that's what I've been trying to figure out. Like, okay, what type of guy would he be? Would he be a strong candidate? Based on, you know, everyone keep pushing Hillary name. I'm thinking, like,
well, Hillary
can win.
Hillary cannot win. Second of all, she shouldn't win. You know, so we've been there, done that. We've been there, done that with the Clintons. It's time to move on and get something fresh.
Yeah, I don't know what the Democrats can push. I mean, it's what, 2006?
Well,
2008 is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see them pushing anybody. You know, I don't see anybody who's rising to the top.
Russ Feingold is someone that is was against the war from the beginning and is someone that is making noises that he wants to run. And I've got a role. Thank you, Maurice, for calling.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. I'll be back. But she doesn't hear a word that he says. Preoccupied, she's afraid. Afraid what they've been doing's not right. He doesn't know what to say. So he prays.
St. Louis, 31 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Countdown. Northbound 270-44 is on the move. Eastbound 44 from Bolton 270 was good. Northbound 55 to Richardson 270 is on the move. Eastbound 40 from Boone Bridge all the way in 270 is on the move as well. Eastbound 370 to Case Springs with more heavy volume going on there. Westbound 255 to Jefferson Parish Bridge 55 is normal traffic. Westbound 64, westbound 5570, and northbound Route 3 on the Poplar Creek Bridge. Eastbound Martin Luther King Bridge at the landing, or I'm sorry, westbound King Bridge at the landing looks good, and that is looking to sell as traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Countdown.
The world's first and largest specialized temporary financial staffing firm. Call or visit them today at accounttemps.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, partly cloudy, chance for afternoon showers with a high in the mid-80s this evening. Partly cloudy, a chance for showers with a low in the mid-60s. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high in the upper 80s. And Thursday, mostly sunny, high in the upper 80s as well. Currently, we have 63 degrees at the studios of AM 920 WGNU. Lambert Field is reporting 65. Stay tuned now for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger. Join me Wednesday, June 7th. When my guest will be Timothy Paul Jones, author of Christian History Made Easy. We'll be discussing the Da Vinci Code and its historical inaccuracies. That's Lloyd Sloan, Wednesday, June 7th at 5 p.m., only on WGNU.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes, but really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
We all know the scenario. You see a for sale sign and think, I want to invest, but real estate is complicated. Well, help is here. Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land of the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
We're the host of WGNU's newest show, Let's Get Wealthy.
Our show provides real techniques for the everyday consumer on how to own a home and build wealth.
Tune in to Let's Get Wealthy every Wednesday at 11 a.m. because today is the day to get wealth for yourself. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown right here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
You want to know what you're going to get in me? Just a little touch of stock one or two. And if that ride goes too far, it's because of the things you are. Beautiful town, I love you. And if I see those open stretch, give your lover the very best. Real out of town and silent.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. So Lieberman is facing a showdown. Lieberman hasn't ruled out whether he's going to run as a independent if he loses the Democratic nomination, thereby splitting the Democratic vote and ensuring that a Republican gets in. And that's something. And here's something that Joe Lieberman should take into account. Anti-war and anti-Bush fervor is growing among the rank-and-file Democrats, threatening to pull the party to the left and creating a rift between activists and DLC folks. Many outside the Beltway Democrats want the party to turn forcefully against the war, investigate, censure, even impeach Bush should the party win control of the Congress this fall. And this is a Knight Rider's report or article. Yet people like Hillary Clinton have continued to stand on the side of war. And not only has she, and this is the other issue when you look at the Joe Lieberman's and Hillary Clinton's out there and Biden's out there, because Biden supported the war too. The issue is that if the Democrats gain majority, are these people ever going to go after Bush? You think Joe Lieberman, after his support of Bush, is ever going to go after Bush if the Democrats gain the majority? Of course not. Of course not. And there is a fault line growing in the Democratic Party as they gather for spring and summer sessions. Democrats want bolder action by the congressional wing of their party. In New Hampshire, the state that will kick off the 2008 presidential primary voting, activists gave thunderous ovations, that's a big deal, thunderous, to Senator Russ Feingold when he pressed his anti-war agenda, boasts that he alone among the 2008 presidential candidates opposed the war from the start, and he pushed for a censure of Bush. In Maine, state Democrats passed a resolution urging impeachment. In Ohio, the state that decided the last presidential election and is a pivotal battleground for this year's congressional elections, the state party chairman notes that the top statewide candidates voted against the war and say 2008 candidates who did support it have some splaining to do. One national poll shows that more than 8 out of 10 Democrats now believe that the United States should have stayed out of Iraq. The same poll for CBS showed that 3 out of 5 Democrats want the U.S. troops out of Iraq as soon as possible, even if the country is not stable. John Kerry, remember him? John Kerry, a possible repeat candidate for president, told supporters in email last week that most members of Congress, including myself, share some responsibility for getting us into Iraq. John Edwards, remember him? He said he made a mistake in voting to authorize the war. And those who voted against the war now brag about it. Senator Edward Kennedy, my vote against this misbegotten war is the best vote I've cast in the United States Senate since I was elected in 1962. Well, seemed rather obvious to those of us that listened to the wake-up call that you shouldn't have voted for this preemptive war. I never bought into it, said Feingold, to applause from more than 600 activists at the New Hampshire State Democratic Convention Saturday. I just didn't write an op-ed piece about it. I voted against it. Also, he was against the Patriot Act. Also, he is called to censure Bush. Delegates jumped to their feet at least for 5 standing ovations. He's one who stood up. He's a hero to a lot of Democrats. It's coming in our direction. He was the only one that was thinking, said one Democrat. The others were gutless. They're just now coming around because it's so obvious that the people are against the war. We need leaders, not followers. His message resonates with the people. That's a senator from Massachusetts. In Ohio, 2 members of the House who voted against authorizing the war, the top of the Democratic ticket, Representative Ted Strickland, the nominee for governor, and Representative Sherrod Brown, the nominee for the Senate. Ohio is growing increasingly wary of the war, both weary and wary. Most Democrats want progressive candidates that are not gutless, that are not scared to be called anti-military when they're not. You need to jump in people's face and be clear about where you are and what you stand for. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. In the next hour, we're going to be talking to Vice President of the Riverview Garden School District, Marlene Terry. And we're going to be talking about what's going on in Riverview Gardens. A lot of stuff is going on, and it's a bellwether for the issue of the school board and what we should be doing in it. 1-877-920-WGNU. Stay with me. We have much to talk about. I'll be back.
One always picks the easy fight. One praises fools. One's mother's light.
Philip Person Roofing is a licensed and certified roofing contractor offering a 15-year warranty on a new modified rubber roof made by GAF, the largest roofing manufacturer in America. Whether commercial or residential, you can finance any new roof with your Visa or MasterCard. For a free estimate, call Philip Person Roofing at 361-7127, 361-7127. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Join the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy, hosted by Zaki Baruti at our new hour at 9 p.m. every Thursday night for insightful information and intelligent discussion of the issues of the day. Tune in to the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy. Remember, knowledge is power.
Hi, I'm Roy DeBose from Roy's Transmission.
This is Willie Stebney, Stebney Brothers Auto Body.
Join Roy DeBose and Willie Stebney with the Community Repair Answer Hour, Sundays, 6 to 8 p.m. We will feature experts to answer your questions on all sorts of repair. Join us Sundays, 6 to 8 p.m.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Nairobi. A passport fraud operation based in Kenya has been broken up with the arrest of 77 people. Kenyan authorities carried out a joint sting operation to arrest the heads of a group that gave money to people who won a lottery for visas to the United States in order to have them claim they had dependents who would then be eligible to come into the United States as well. Money was then taken from people who sought those American visas in order to pair them up with the people who actually received them. That caused much financial hardship to hundreds of families. And Dateline Washington. A report in the military publication Stars and Stripes indicates the Pentagon is going to do away with sports and talk shows on its armed forces radio networks. A meeting is set for this Thursday to talk about the recommendations by Lund Media Research Group, which has said that by playing more hip-hop and pop music, as well as less country music, ratings for armed forces radio can be increased. Most of the programming decisions would be made in the United States, and two music stations would be established that would represent programming to all of the American troops worldwide. Other programming, such as talk, would be put on a third channel and made available only in certain areas. One of the shows recommended to be dropped would be the Tom Joyner program, which is very popular with minorities in service, because white soldiers surveyed said they didn't like its content. Armed Forces Radio operates in 18 countries, but currently programming decisions are made at local levels. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Philip Person Roofing has been in business for over 16 years. He's a licensed and certified roofing contractor specializing in roof replacements and repairs. And now you can get a 15-year warranty on a new modified rubber roof made by GAF, the largest roofing manufacturer in America. And you can finance any new roof, commercial or residential, with your Visa or MasterCard. For a free estimate, call Philip Person Roofing at 361-7127. That's 361-7127.
For the issues that matter most to you, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
Hi, I'm Amy Cammy.
And I'm Anita Green.
Join us every Tuesday morning at 11 for Awaken to Yourself.
It's the show where you'll discover ways to take care of your body, experience your feelings,
relax your mind, embrace your dreams, and do what you love. If you're at work, listen online at WGNU.net.
You won't want to miss it.
Awaken to Yourself, Tuesdays at 11.
Professor Stephen Yates of the University of South Carolina is our guest Tuesday morning at 7. He recently wrote a disturbing dissertation on a plan. With information you can't get anywhere else, it's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
My life go by, and at times I wonder why I try. Well, I try because I like to finish what I start, and I have faith it can get better tomorrow.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. You need to get up, you need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number, 454-6609 is the fax. You know what? My toll-free is 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget, this Saturday at 9 o'clock, join Irene J. Smith and myself as we take part in a collaborative collective, the Urban Institute, Saturday Morning Urban Institute. The address is 1020 North Taylor. That's 1020 North Taylor. And the time is 9 a.m. It's a wonderful opportunity to discuss and to meet and to collaboratively confront the issues that our community is confronting. This Saturday at 9 o'clock at 1020 North Taylor. We will be talking about the planning that goes on and the connection to the issues. The issue of charter schools, we're going to be talking about that. The issue of eminent domain and the issue of voter ID. We're going to be talking about all of that this Saturday at 9 a.m. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. All of that in connection to the Team 4 plan. All of the stuff that we're doing, the seeds that we are planting with the Urban Institute, leading us to a place of what's getting ready to occur in the United States Supreme Court as a result of the seeds that have been planted by those who stand in opposition to affirmative action. The Supreme Court said on Monday that it will decide the extent to which public schools can use race in deciding school assignments. This is going to be a landmark decision on affirmative action. Justices will hear appeals from a Seattle parent group and a Kentucky parent ruling for the first time on diversity plans used by a host of school districts around the country. This is why our control of our school districts is so important. Recent cases have been difficult for the justices. The court's announcement that it will take up the case provides a first sign of an aggressiveness by the court under new Chief Justice John Roberts. You see, the court rejected a similar case in December when moderate Sandra Day O'Connor was still on the bench. The outcome of this case will turn on her successor, Samuel Alito. This is an issue of the constitutionality of affirmative action. The arguments will take place in November. The court's announcement followed 6 weeks of internal deliberations on whether or not to hear the appeal. And this was an, just to give you a heads up, when they took 6 weeks to look at it, that was an unusually long period of time. In one of the cases, an appeals court upheld Seattle's system, which lets students pick among high schools and then relies on tiebreakers, including race, to decide who gets in the schools that have more applicants than openings. The lower court decision was based in part on the Supreme Court ruling 3 years ago, written by O'Connor, which said that colleges and universities could select students based at least in part on race. The court will also consider a school desegregation policy in Kentucky. The school district has long been under a federal court decree to end segregation in the schools, and after the decree ended, the district began using a plan that includes racial guidelines. A federal judge has said the system did not require quotas. A mother, Crystal Meredith, claimed her son was denied entrance into the neighborhood school because he is white. The Jefferson County School District, which covers metropolitan Louisiana, or Louisville, Kentucky, has 100,000 students in it. This is going to be a serious, significant issue. And it will also be a reflection on what the United States Senate, Democratic Senate senators did when they didn't attempt to filibuster Roberts or Alito. And they capitulated so quickly on Roberts, it was embarrassing. And they eventually capitulated on Alito, which was just as problematic. I submit to you, it's going to be interesting come November. November is going to be a very, very, very interesting a month. A very revealing month. And today is going to be a big day. I have some news for you tomorrow about how things worked out for Democrats in a hugely Republican district with the Dukester seat up for grabs. You know, you kind of wonder if you can, I mean, if you close your eyes, you can almost imagine the Dukester in jail with the other inmates shuffling down the corridors, passes his clanging jail door in his slippers. Because they don't give you shoes. You have to buy your own shoes from the commissary. They don't give you shoes. And you got to wonder what's going through the Dukester's mind as he does his little perp walk, chains around his ankles. You think he's going? You think he's trying to beat up his cellmate, trying to get some CNN time on the television? Instead of deal or no deal, he's fighting to try to get to watch Fox News when the inmates are trying to watch Desperate Housewives. Huh? What a change! How the mighty have fallen. Just a few years, or just a year ago, a few months ago, he was dusting off his antique commode with pride, chilling on his boat, the Dukester. How vain is that, the Dukester? How vain is that? Couldn't come up with a name for his boat other than his own name. How vain is that? Ooh. Ooh, how the mighty have fallen. 1-877-920-WGNU. We have much to talk about in the next hour. We're going to be talking about Riverview Garden School District. these Supreme Court decisions that are coming up on the issue of race tells us we need to be prepared. We need to have our stuff tight. We need to be in control of our school districts. We truly do. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I will be back after this break. Stay with me.
Use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. People who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
Hearing revolution in the air, tell the brothers, stop
the
sound.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Hey, latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. This is every parent's worst nightmare. The child disappears, and sometimes there are very tragic consequences to this type of thing. And suffice it to say, it hasn't been a good week for those incidents. ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey has a story.
The baby in Lubbock, Texas, only 5 days old when she was abducted from a hospital in blistering heat.
It was like 102, 104 here in Lubbock today.
Police Lieutenant Roy Bassett says the baby was finally found in that heat, abandoned under a carport. A woman posing as a nurse arrested. The mother overjoyed.
I'm going to stop kissing her and everything.
In Maryland, it's been a week since police thought 4-year-old Justin Marshall died. Died in a car crash. It wasn't. Now police say it was his 7-year-old brother. And in Florida, a 6-year-old celebrated his birthday at a Chuck E. Cheese. Party over. Parents left him there. Didn't know it until the next day. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
17 Canadian terror suspects are due in court today. They're accused of plotting to blow up targets in that country. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more from Toronto.
The Royal Canadian Mounted Police told ABC News this was a real plot. And the National Post reports it involved two separate strikes. One, a truck bomb made of fertilizer to destroy possibly the stock exchange here or the Parliament building in Ottawa. The other, gunfire in a public place. 6 of the 17 people arrested have been charged in the bomb plot. 3 are charged with obtaining firearms for what court records say was the purpose of carrying out terrorist activity. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Toronto.
President Bush heads to the other U.S. border. He'll visit New Mexico and Texas to push his plan for a guest worker reform program. So what do you think of gay marriage?
According to a new ABC News poll, 58% of Americans say same-sex marriage should be illegal. But when it comes to whether or not there should be a constitutional amendment, the numbers are a little different. Only 42% favor amending the Constitution to make same-sex marriage illegal.
That's ABC's Jake Tapper, ABC News.
Big during Digital Camera Week at Office Depot. Receive an Office Depot gift card of up to $50 with the purchase of select digital cameras. Office Depot has all the top brands, including Canon, Nikon, Sony, Kodak, Olympus, and HP. So hurry in to Office Depot for big savings during Camera Week and get ready for summer memories.
Gift card amount based on 10% of camera price, $50 maximum.
When my baby left for college, I took some classes of my own.
Left, right, turn.
Dance classes. That's when I started needing a pain reliever for my sore legs. Then I upgraded my computer and had to get a headache medicine, too. For every new pain, I had a different pain reliever. But now I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt. And nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed compared to OTC pain relievers.
When you go to college, you have to declare a major. Well, now if you go to high school in Florida, you have to do the same thing.
The idea behind the education overhaul bill is to improve the state's poor graduation rates by letting kids study the subjects that really interest them. That means a student could elect to major in English lit or a vocational skill like cabinet making. That doesn't mean an easy ride, though. Students will still have to pass basic math and other core classes. Governor Bush says choosing a high school major will help keep kids interested in learning. But critics complain the real education problem is a system that relies too much on standardized tests. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
We're hearing a lot about today's date, June 6th, 2006, or 666 if you do it all with numbers. Some religions say that's a satanic sign, but in Hell, Michigan, it's a great excuse for a big party. Smitty Hickey owns the big bar there.
It's not about the devil. It's really a good reason for us to have fun in hell.
Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a suspect shot by police in University City is dead. 27-year-old Maurice Adkins died Sunday at an area hospital. Police say undercover officers tried to arrest Adkins last Thursday for selling drugs when he allegedly pinned an officer with his van. The injured officer and another officer shot at Adkins. Before his death, Adkins was charged with assault on a law officer and multiple drug offenses. Some residents and business owners in the Dutchtown area want to keep Cleveland High School from closing. The Alliance to Save Cleveland High kicked off its campaign yesterday and outlined its proposals to keep the school from shutting its doors for good. Debbie Irwin with the Alliance says they don't want to see another vacant St. Louis school.
part of the track record of the St. Louis Public Schools is to close a building, leave it vacant, and leave it to deteriorate. To have a vacant building here would be very deleterious to the neighborhood and would take us backwards.
The Alliance's proposal includes an independent evaluation of the school and the restoration of the building for the Naval Junior ROTC program. The Alliance believes the school can be renovated for less than the $20 million that school district officials say it would cost. For more information, go to www.savecleveland.org. The head of the Sex Crimes and Child Abuse Unit for the St. Louis Circuit Attorney's Office believes new legislation will protect children from sexual predators. Ed Pastacco says the most important piece of the legislation is the minimum 25-year prison sentence for anyone convicted of committing a violent sex act against a minor. Pastacco says another important piece of the law is the requirement for convicted offenders to be electronically monitored for life. Governor Matt Blunt is on a two-day statewide tour to sign the bill. Finally this hour, the AIDS epidemic is declining in the U.S. Surgeon General Dr. Richard Carmona says there were 100,000 cases a year at the height of the epidemic, compared to 40,000 cases a year in recent years. Men who have sex with men are still the single largest group of those reported with HIV/AIDS, according to the CDC. The latest statistics from the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services show that there are nearly 4,900 HIV cases and just over 10,000 AIDS cases in Missouri. Yesterday marked the 25th anniversary of the first reported cases of AIDS. More information can be found at www.hivtest.org. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Midas. What's the most important safety feature of your car? Midas believes it's the person who does your brakes. Don't trust your brakes to just anyone. Trust America's leader in brakes. Trust the Midas Touch. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
St. Louis, 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by AccountThems. Southbound 270 at Manchester and Doherty Ferry, there's a report of some furniture in the roadway. Use caution as you roll up to there. Southbound 55 at Union and Rivas Parish, look for road construction. Left lane's closed. Northbound 270 at Atherton 44, look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 40 from 141 all the way into Mason, heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 70 from 370 Cave Springs, sluggish traffic going on there. Westbound 270 from Illinois 203, the Canal Bridge, look for slow traffic. Westbound 64, westbound 5570, and northbound Route 3 on the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect some delays as the bridge is starting to stack up. Westbound King Bridge traffic from 5570 into Laclede's Landing. Look for slow traffic there. And Compton Avenue between Shoto and Market is closed due to demolition and replacement of the Compton Bridge over Highway 40. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by AccountThems, providing highly skilled financial temporary professionals for over 58 years. Call or visit them today at AccountThems.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, partly cloudy this afternoon. Chance of thunderstorms with a high in the mid-80s this evening. Partly cloudy, chance of showers with a low in the mid-60s. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high in the upper 80s. And Thursday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s as well. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have mostly clear skies. Our temperature is running right at 66 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 67. Stay tuned now for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. What's up next? We'll take another look at your news, or your traffic and your weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, help me, sister.
Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you.
Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air of the brother. Stop resisting.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equality.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, and we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. If you want to email me, you can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown, LIZZBrown.com. You can also check me out at whiterosesociety.org. That's where all the shows are archived. WhiteRoseSociety.org or Liz Brown, LIZZBrown.com. That's the directions. You need to take advantage of those now. I talked a little bit this morning about how in November the United States Supreme Court is going to be taking up the issue of affirmative action. They're going to be deciding the future of affirmative action. Schools are on the minds and the hearts of most of us out here that are plugged into the political process. Who controls the schools? What do our schools look like? What decisions are they making about our children? Schools, really, I really believe that the heartbeat of any community is its school system. And if the school system is ailing, then everything else in the community is ailing as well. We've seen that in the city of St. Louis. We have seen what happens when a school system is attacked. We have seen what happens when a school district is put under control of people who have no connection to it, no concern about it, and are only interested in the money that it has. We're suffering the results of that in the city of St. Louis. Bad decision, poor leadership, and a lack of concern about our babies and their futures. And what is also going on in the city of St. Louis is that we're now attempting to take that control back. We have to pay attention to what's going on in our school districts, because that's the only way we know what is going on in our larger cities as well. So let us move to the county, Riverview Garden School District. It's been in the media, it's been in the news for a bit. Riverview Garden School District, one article. Riverview Garden School Board suspends superintendent. Riverview Gardens parent are payments to a girlfriend at a top official at Riverview Gardens are scrutinized. Riverview Gardens spending inquiry widens. We need to talk about this. We need to put some facts out there. We need people to understand specifically what is going on in Riverview Gardens and why they should be paying attention to it. I have in the studio with me the vice president of the Riverview Gardens School District, Marlene Terry. Marlene, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm just fine. Good morning, Radio World.
All right, and we also have two parents in the Riverview Gardens School District, Bobby Small and Sharon Tisworth. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
All right, let me start with you, Marlene. You have been coming on the show for a number of years. I've been following your political career almost from the very moment.
Yes.
And this has been a long and interesting road of the Riverview Gardens School District, hasn't it?
Long and interesting. It sure has.
I kind of want to take a little time to go back to mm-hmm. talk about you and your connection with the school board, because it's you have kids that went to the school district. So let's start at the beginning. Why did you get involved in the Riverview Gardens School District?
I first got involved in the Riverview Gardens School District. I was attending an open house where some of the schools had been renovated, newly renovated, and I live right next door to an elementary school where my son had started kindergarten. And I went to a meeting there, and in the meeting there was the school board,
mm-hmm.
and it was held in the gymnasium, and it was standing room only.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the room was filled with African-American parents in the gym. And there was a school board that consists of all Caucasians.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
As I looked around the room, I was just amazed that we were being represented by an all-white school board. And
what are the numbers? Well, at the time, what were the numbers of the kids of African descent in your district?
It was at least 98% African-American.
And the entire school board was white?
Entire school board was white.
Was this in, no offense, but was this in 1854?
No, it was in 1999. Actually, 1998.
1999. Now, so what did you do at this point?
I looked around. I was amazed. Mm-hmm. And so I decided that being a parent, instead of being negative or taking a negative action toward that it was up to me to try to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
I understood that there had been several African Americans that had ran for that position and they were not fortunate enough to win.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to put my best foot and forth effort
mm-hmm.
and do so, and I succeeded.
And so you were the first person of African descent that was elected to the Riverview Gardens School District.
Yes, I was.
What year was that?
That was in 1999.
1999. Okay. So from the moment that you got on the school board, that meant that you were the only one out of seven. There were seven school board members, and were you the only black person on the board?
Yes, I was.
Okay. How long was did you sit there in that under those circumstances?
I think the circumstances were at least four to five years.
So you were there by yourself for 4 to 5 years.
Yes.
So what was the next year that we started getting other black folks on the board?
99, 2001, maybe it was 2002. Around 2003.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, 2002, 2003. So what does the board look like now?
The board is predominantly African-American with one Caucasian female.
And so it seems to me that given the switch from and also when you were there was a white superintendent as well.
Yes, it was.
And is that still the case?
No, we have our first African-American superintendent.
So that happened during your tenure?
Yes, it did.
Okay. So let's talk about some of the issues that people are talking about in the Riverview mm-hmm. Gardens School District right now. It was reported and it was fact that the Riverview Garden School Board suspended the superintendent. How did that happen?
Yes, they did. It was unfortunate, and I'm not quite sure. I'm a little amazed because there were a lot of accusations that were being thrown out there by the prior president,
mm-hmm.
and they were unfounded.
And that was Tommy
Pearson.
Pearson.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
and actually not true.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been going on for quite a while. These accusations have been going on for over a year, coming exactly from him.
Mm-hmm.
And he has made up in his mind, and along with other community people, that he is to he is determined to remove Dr. Williams.
Mm-hmm.
He has stated that
openly. Why?
As far as I'm concerned, I have to really look at it now as being a personal vendetta,
mm-hmm.
because he has not actually put himself in a position on our board to do any work that is beneficial to our children.
You're talking about Tommy Percy.
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. It has only been work that has meant to destroy our district, as if he has joined union with certain people in order to make that happen.
Well, and let's go back to the president of, or the superintendent of your school district. Give us some of the background of Superintendent Williams.
Superintendent Williams, I believe, came from New York. He was a superintendent there. He was a superintendent in Arkansas. I am
Wasn't
one of the
he in Kansas City as
yes,
well?
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm.
I am one of the persons that reviewed his resume,
mm-hmm.
because he came through us through a company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have like headhunters go out when we had to have a superintendent upon the prior superintendent leaving so abruptly.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was Wright.
Dr.
Wright. She went to
Hazelwood.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And his resume was very impressive. He's a very intelligent man.
So he's been a superintendent for quite some time.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he has the experience.
Mm-hmm.
He has the experience. He has the knowledge. And he has been known to move things forward.
Mm-hmm.
So his presentation was very professional. And out of four other superintendents, the entire board at that time voted unanimously to bring him on to the Riverview Gardens District.
Okay. Was Pearson part of that board that voted unanimously for him?
No, he was not. I was the only African-American at that time, and it was six other Caucasians.
Mm-hmm. And so it was a unanimous decision to bring him on.
Yes, it was.
So he comes on to the district. What are some of the things that have occurred since Superintendent Williams has been there?
As far as in our school's
yes. mm-hmm.
progress,
mm-hmm.
Superintendent Williams has added a lot of technology to all our schools. The curriculum, we have a new curriculum. He has put teams together that have actually focused on our children and started a lot of assessment,
mm-hmm.
so that we can find out where they are, data-driven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've started to look at data to see where each child performance was so that they can teach them at the level that they were at to bring them up. There's been a lot of professional development. We have a new building. We have a state-of-the-art middle school.
And how big is the school district of Riverview Gardens?
We have over 8,000 students.
And one of the things that the press would constantly show is what happened at the high school of graduation
mm-hmm.
last year. Talk to us about that.
Actually, that was orchestrated, and I'm glad to say this, because that was orchestrated by some of the high school teachers
mm-hmm.
at our school.
You're glad to say that? Why?
Because a lot of people are under the impression that our children just decided to picket or strike on their own,
mm-hmm.
and that is not the case. Sure, there was a person or two that was disgruntled, that had a relationship with the principal that
mm-hmm.
was there, and they saw an advantage and decided to take advantage
mm-hmm.
of that advantage. So the children were told by their teachers.
Teachers told?
Yes, they did, that we're going to take roll, and at 9:15, you can just get up and walk out the room, and nothing will happen to you. And, you know,
why would the teachers do that?
Because they wanted our district to look bad.
Mm-hmm. Why would they want the district to look bad?
We have some teachers that, and believe me, I want to express that we have a lot of good teachers
mm-hmm.
in Riverview Gardens, but we have some teachers who are not happy with the progress
mm-hmm.
or what Dr. Williams has in mind. His philosophy is, if you're going to continue to work here, you're going to have to work on the best interests of our children.
I mean, it's my understanding that we had teachers that were so disrespectful of our students and the atmosphere of what a school is supposed to, the atmosphere that a school is supposed to have, that they were wearing flip-flops. Their dress code was like they were getting ready to go to a day on the beach as opposed to teaching children.
And that is still the case. Dr. Williams has expressed to them that if they show an interest in their own self, that maybe they could show the children that they care as just as much about them.
T-shirts and flip-flops.
T-shirts, flip-flops, spandex pants. If you go there, you will still see that with most of our teachers. Some are gradually getting away from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're very comfortable. They will say that they're comfortable. And, you know, they have been, it's been sort of like a good old boys club
mm-hmm.
at a couple of our schools. And he came in and decided that you have to work now.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, we had some resistance, and we still have some resistance. And basically, we had a problem at the high school. So when you have someone that will work with you, you decide to take advantage of that and use that to your best advantage. And you also, if you remember just a week or so ago, it was indicated that there were some teachers that deliberately wore cameras on themselves
and
to film our children.
And that, to me, that's shocking, that,
mm-hmm.
that teachers would go into a school and film children
yes.
without their, out their knowledge. And then instead of, and if they had some concerns, first of all, I don't think it's appropriate for teachers to do that, but instead, if they had concern about the children's behavior, why didn't they give the film to Dr. Williams and have a conversation about it? Instead, they went straight to the press.
Absolutely. And that's why people should realize that it's a total setup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they don't have our children's best interests at heart. And we, you know, they betrayed us not once, but maybe three times. It's been a school that's disruptive because it was stated that our school, they took a poll to say that our school was one of the worst schools in the city of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was only maybe 20 teachers, the same 20 teachers that have been involved in disruption that took that survey, because most teachers were outraged because they didn't even know anything about a survey.
And then that, to me, that is just, very interesting that you'd have teachers willing to make a school look so bad. Most teachers wouldn't want, they don't want your school to look that bad.
Well, just as you were saying before, you have to look at the dollars mm-hmm. that's coming into the school system, and you'd have to look at the school and how it's been ran in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in spite of our district being 99% African American or so now, there are certain individuals who feel that they still have a stake when they do not in that school, and they're determined to keep it.
Does it come down along racial lines, Marlene?
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to say that, and a lot of people would hate to admit that, but someone has to say it,
mm-hmm.
and that is the absolute truth, because you can't say that we haven't had problems in the past, because we have,
mm-hmm.
but they were never brought out.
But Tommy Pearson is a black man, and he's a preacher.
I refer to him as Mr. Pearson,
mm-hmm.
and he is an African-American person.
Mm-hmm.
But Tommy Pearson has decided to team up for his own benefit to make himself. It's like me, what I can get out of this. I want to look important. I want to be in charge. I have sat on committees with him, and he's the type of person that has to be the president. If you look at his resume, he's the president of everything that he's a part of, and he will do anything to get there.
So it's that he's a title seeker?
He's a title seeker.
Mm-hmm.
He's a water carrier, and whatever it takes for him to get there.
And when you say water carrier, whose water is he carrying?
He's carrying some of the people in the community that does not look like me,
mm-hmm.
Water for them, and some of the union people that represents our school.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most outrageous thing, when you have a person that will team up with a union personnel to work against
system. Give us an example of how he's done that.
Well, he collaborates with one of the presidents of the NEA
mm-hmm.
quite often.
Mm-hmm.
And these teachers are constantly coming into the system, and they never talk about our children. They only talk about their money. Riverview Gardens is one of the highest paid districts in the city
really?
Of St. Louis.
Really?
Yes. And they come in and they talk about money. They talk about how they don't want professional development, how they don't want to work. They want to keep their cushiony jobs. They don't want to go back into the classroom when some of them are out. And he's working to their advantage. He tells them that I'm going to help you. They helped him. They supported him during his race.
And one of the things that I've noticed when I've attended the Riverview Gardens School District
mm-hmm.
School board meetings is the support that Tommy gets seems to be all about wanting to see white folks that are really, really behind him. And Bobby, can you jump in on this too? Can you speak to this in terms of the type of support that Tommy seems to get within the district? You've been to the school board member meetings. You've spoken at them. What is it? Where does the support come from?
From the white teachers.
Mm.
That's who normally be there when there's an issue, and mainly it's at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
Those teachers come out, and those are his supporters.
And why should that be of concern to us?
It should be of concern because, one, they don't live in the district. Most of them are from Illinois or O'Fallon or St. Charles, and they don't have any children in our district. And these are the people that refuse to work. They refuse to educate our children to the best of their ability. These are the people that wear flip-flop shoes
and that's the thing that just keeps resonating in my mind is the disrespect mm-hmm. to our children and to the parents of our children for a teacher to wear flip-flops and a t-shirt. That's a statement that I don't care. I don't have to get dressed up for you.
Absolutely.
Who are you? We're going to take a break, folks. I'm talking to the vice president of the Riverview Gardens School District, Marlene Terry. We also are talking to two parents from the Riverview Gardens School District, Bobby Small and Sharon Tisworth. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath.
Register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com, and I'm just thrilled to be able to tell you that an average of 90 people who met on eHarmony.com get married every single day. 90 people every day.
When I first met him, I knew.
I knew she was someone I wanted to spend the rest of my life with.
At eHarmony.com, every match you receive has been carefully selected to be compatible with you based on 29 dimensions crucial for a thriving, long-term relationship.
eHarmony matches you at a deeper level.
It's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Dating sites match on a picture and a paragraph. At eHarmony, we match you at the deepest levels, and it simply works to the tune of 90 people who fall in love and get married every single day. So if you're looking for the love of your life, log on to eHarmony.com. Get your compatibility profile, a $50 value free. eHarmony.com.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 33 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Eastbound 44 at Chrysler and Merrimack River Bridge. Everything's on the move. Northbound 270 from Teson Ferry to 44. Look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason. Expect heavy volume there. Eastbound 70 from K to 79 is heavy volume as well. Westbound 270 at Illinois 203 all the way in the Canal Bridge. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 5570, westbound 64, and northbound Route 3 approaches on the Poplar Street Bridge. Expect that to be stacked up this hour. Westbound Kingsbridge traffic from 5570 into the Cleve Landing. Look for slow traffic as well. And westbound East Bridge is stop and go all the way into the Illinois Bank. Northbound 55 from Green Park to Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic in the right lane. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Drive into Sonic Tuesday nights for half-price burgers. That's right. Get unlimited classic Sonic burgers for half the price from 5 p.m. till close on Tuesday. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly cloudy skies today, high in the mid-80s. Chance of thunderstorms this afternoon and this evening. Partly cloudy this evening with a low in the mid-60s. Wednesday and Thursday, pretty much the same. Mostly sunny on both days with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 66 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 67. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Tuesday is the sixth day of the sixth month of 2006. 666.
Some people worship that number, others avoid it. Still others believe that these three digits hold the key to future events and look at everything from a different perspective. Join Reverend David Hartzell, pastor of Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God Church in Bridgeton, and me, Charles Gere, as we examine the mystery of 666 Tuesday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its event and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call this morning. I am talking to Marlene Terry, Vice President of the Riverview Gardens School District, and I'm talking to some other parents as well, Bobby Small and Sharon Tisworth. Bobby, let me go to you. Okay, after the April election, there were some changes in board members for the Riverview Gardens. What happened after the April election?
After the April election, they reorganized the board.
Mm-hmm.
They put Pearson as the president.
How was that vote? Was it a unanimous vote? Was it how did that vote go down?
No, it was a 5-2 split, I believe.
Is that right, Marlene? Was that the number? Was it 5-2?
That's correct.
Okay. So it was a 5-2 split. So prior to the election, did Tommy talk about what he was going to do on the board, or was he there? Did he not talk about that
prior to the election? No, because we were focused on making sure our children had the right, their education was taken care of.
But were you hearing rumblings out there from Tommy Pearson about what he was going to do when he was if he were reelected and if he got to be the president? Marlene, did we hear that talk?
Oh, most certainly. He had rumors out there exactly what he was going to do. The first opportunity he got, that he was going to make sure he got rid of Dr. Williams.
And so the election came. Tommy was elected president of the board. How did that meeting go? Was it an unusual meeting? Was it an organized meeting? Did it appear that he knew what he was doing?
It was an unorganized meeting. Mm-hmm. We had, I want to say, at least 75 to 80 of our high school Caucasian teachers there.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as the meeting was over with, they rah-rahed and patted him on his back because the first thing that he had stated already was Dr. Williams was the first person that he was going to get rid of.
And Sharon, were you at that meeting?
Yes, I was.
And what were your impressions? What did you see at that meeting?
Well, I saw a lot of disruption. It appeared to me like this is where the teachers wanted this to go. As far as the president of the board, being Mr. Pearson.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Pearson came on with his own agenda. He wanted to do certain things. I have known Mr. Pearson for a very long time, and he had already told about how his political aspiration was going to be. You know, when I first met him, we was in a group called Concerned Parents.
Mm-hmm.
And Patron, he was speaking of being a mayor or something, to be a fountain.
So he has political aspirations beyond this?
Yes, he do. Yes, he do.
Okay. So as a parent, what did you think? How did you feel that the teachers were acting, and how do you feel that Tommy was acting that night, the very first night that he was elected?
The teachers was very, to me, and I voiced it, they were very unprofessional.
How so?
They were screaming and hollering, and they were cheering because Mr. Pearson was the president of the school board at that time. His church members was there. He had a cheering group there.
Well, one of the things that I thought, because I was at that meeting also, and one mm-hmm. of the things I thought that was interesting about this was, one, that Tommy had hired his own attorney, and then number two, the fact that he didn't know what he. In fact, I was talking to other reporters there, and we were all marveling at the fact that he had no clue about what was supposed to be what his job was, and what he could do and what he couldn't do. Marlene, did you see that?
Yes, I did. He came first of all. Mr. Pearson had went to the county courts mm-hmm. and had himself sworn in,
mm-hmm.
and we're using weight. For the election results to come back, and he wanted to get him and the person that he had ran with him in so quickly so that he could start what he had promised people that he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
When he came to the meeting, he was very unorganized. He had an agenda. Actually, we had three agendas that day.
Three
agendas. We had posted an agenda for the usual meeting.
Mm-hmm.
He had sent another agenda, and then he brought an agenda with him.
Mm-hmm.
And my first question was, you have three agendas here. Which agenda are we using?
Mm-hmm.
And I advised him that he had actually violated the Sunshine Law because his meeting was never posted. He started making motions and not getting okays for his motion. Seconds for his motions. He never, it was a lot of things that he wasn't doing.
One of the things I thought that was interesting that he did was when he was up there, he was saying that, okay, we're going to suspend all hirings and all firings because we want to really see who's being hired by this district. And I was mystified by that because he's been a board member before. Mm-hmm. This wasn't his first time on the board. Is there some kind of rule or regulation that keeps him from seeing who the hirings and the firings are for the district?
Never. We provide a packet every Friday that goes out with information about any and everything that's going on in the district.
And you were the president of the board
at
the time.
And
did he ever ask you about anybody that was hired, anybody that was fired? Did he ever raise any questions with Dr. Henry Williams? Did he raise any of those questions?
He never raised any questions. He never had any concerns. And he never read his paperwork, actually. And you could tell because when you're having conversation, a topic of conversation in a meeting, he could never follow along or he never knew where he was. But the thing was, during his election, he had promised some teachers because he knew that there was going to be some organizational changes, according to Dr. Williams, within our system that the teachers were not happy about.
And so let's get to, I want to get to some of these accusations that are out there, some of these comments that are being made about the district. One of the criticisms of the district, in fact, one of the things that Tommy Pearson was standing at the election, on the day of election saying is that the district is being investigated.
Absolutely.
The district has criminal investigation. The FBI is coming. In fact, he even said that Marlene Terry was being investigated by the FBI. Talk to us about
not
that.
Not only investigated, but I had been arrested several times, and I've never been inside a jail. Those were the accusations that he was making, and he was trying to discredit myself and Dr. Williams.
But the district as well. I mean, you want to get,
absolutely.
You're running to be part of a district, and you are trashing the district as you are running for the district. Talk to us about the accusation, because it's not just time. There's an articles here too
mm-hmm.
that make the same that allude to the same types of investigations. Is the Riverview Gardens School District being investigated by the FBI?
No, not by the FBI, but after all the accusations was going out, and I think that this will happen in most occasions, if you constantly have individuals and a person making accusations, someone's going to take a look at
mm-hmm.
it. So I think that the prosecuting attorney's office decided, because they were sending letters, they were caught making phone calls, saying that there was some criminal acts going on, they decided...
Well, let me ask this question. At the time that Tommy Pearson was making the accusations that the FBI was investigating the school district, was that true?
That's not true.
Department of Education from DESE, were they investigating the district at the time he was making the accusation?
That's not true. I had actually visited DESE myself, and our chief officer and some of our accountants had went to DESE a couple of days prior to that election, had a sit down with them, you know, told them that, you know, we wanted them to come in. We asked for some help from them to look at, you know, some things. We had had three audits within this past year.
How did they all turn out?
They all turned out fine. We had some procedural things that we needed to work on, but that's most common in most schools, you know, some things that we need to make some adjustments on because the state makes a lot of changes in requirements year to year, and that was basically it. And our financial reports were always presented to the board, and you could see quite clearly that there was nothing wrong with our financials.
And as I look at this article that is entitled, The Riverview Gardens Misspending Inquiry Widens, I look at the end of it, and it says that nobody is saying that they are investigating the Riverview Gardens School District. Is there somebody that's investigating now?
The only person that has ever asked us for anything was the prosecuting attorney's office, and we have not heard from them since they have requested. They did not come in and apprehend. They requested some documents from us, and Dr. Williams gladly turned them over to them.
1-877-920-WGNU, that's our number. We're going to take another break. We'll get to some of our calls when we get back. I'm talking about the Riverview Garden School District, Marlene Terry, Vice President of the Riverview Garden School District. We need to talk about, I thought you said that Tommy was the president. I guess he's not the president anymore.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Okay, we're going to talk about that when we come back. Stay with us.
If I try to take it, they want to bring me down and strip me.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Looks like Six Flags St. Louis is kicking off its best season ever with a 45th anniversary and the largest expansion in park history. And here with us on the phone right now, the one and only Tasmanian Devil, Taz. Taz, are you there? Yeah, Taz, it's a pleasure to speak to you, too. My wife's doing great. Listen, we've heard so much about the expansion. Tell us about it. So, you've got the all-new Superman Tower of Power, the Bugs Bunny National Park, and the Justice League Superheroes? And it's all part of the 45th anniversary, which has shows, nightly parades, and a laser light show? Wow, that's a lot, considering you've already got some of the world's most amazing rides in family entertainment. Is there anything else? Six Flags is what? Oh, I see. Six Flags is more than a theme park. It's an experience. And get discount tickets at SixFlags.com.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
The Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. Free estimates, over 16 years experience. 361-7127. 361-7127.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Baghdad. 50 Iraqis were snatched off the street yesterday, and fear is being expressed for their safety. The abductions took place in the early morning when over a dozen pickup trucks carrying armed men dressed in police uniforms cordoned off a street in central Baghdad where transportation facilities out of the country are located. Those taken away were drivers and passengers who were preparing to depart the country. Bags were placed over the people's heads. They were put onto the trucks and then driven away. It's not known at this time who conducted the abductions or why it even happened. Thousands of Iraqis have been kidnapped by sectarian groups and even criminal gangs. Many of the abductions have involved the use of police cars and uniforms. On Sunday, 21 people were shot to death by gunmen who had set up a false checkpoint in Diyala province. Most of that group were students who were on their way to take exams at a college. And Dateline Seoul. Another free trade agreement is in the works, this one involving the United States and South Korea. Autos, agriculture, and investments will be the foundation for any such agreement, which would result in the removal of trade barriers between goods and services for the two nations and could become reality by the end of this year. Last year, trade between the two was worth over $70 billion. South Korea imposes from 11 to 52% tariff rates on American goods, while the U.S. has rates from 4 to 12%. South Korea is the 10th largest economy in the world, and this agreement would be the largest one since the 1993 NAFTA arrangement between Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. Opponents say it'll cripple workers and farmers in both countries because there are not enough safeguards for labor or the environment. This is your wake-up call global news update, brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. Philip Person Roofing is a licensed and certified roofing contractor offering a 15-year warranty on a new modified rubber roof made by GAF, the largest roofing manufacturer in America. Whether commercial or residential, you can finance any new roof with your Visa or MasterCard. For a free estimate, call Philip Person Roofing at 361-7127, 361-7127.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's take on the day and learn how to do the right thing.
Hi, I'm Carrie of Urshel.
And I'm Elaine Adams.
Join us here in the ladies' room every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. An exclusive format for ladies with challenging, insightful, objective, and thought-provoking topics.
The Ladies' Room. It's time to revive, restore, renew, rejuvenate, and refresh, where there's always something to talk about.
So join us in the Ladies' Room.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I just want to do some bookkeeping issues before we go on. Please don't forget that tomorrow, Elin Harris is going to be on the Wake Up Call talking about his new book, Say a Little Prayer. You don't want to miss that. And, of course, the St. Louis Public Schools Watch is tomorrow as well. You don't want to miss that. But Elin Harris tomorrow in the 8 o'clock hour, he will be talking about his book, Say a Little Prayer, so you don't want to miss that. And don't forget, on Saturdays at 9 o'clock at 1020 North Taylor, the Saturday Morning Urban Institute, Irene J. Smith and myself, we will be talking about the issue of the Team 4 plan and its impact on our community, how it was a plan and how we can trace the connection of the Team 4 plan to charter schools, to eminent domain, and to the voter ID bill that is sitting up waiting for the man-child's signature. So you don't want to miss that Saturday at 9 o'clock at the firehouse, at the firefighters building at 1020 North Taylor. That's this Saturday at 9 o'clock. A continental breakfast will be served. We will be looking for you. We are talking about the Riverview Garden School District. I want to get to a couple of calls, ladies, and then get back to some of our concerns and the issue of what's happening at the Riverview Garden School District. Yes, you're on the wake-up call.
Ms. Brown, the truth will set you free. Mrs. Terry, I just want to take my hat off to you for standing up for Dr. Williams, Ms. Terry. Tommy Pearson is an embarrassment to your school district. He needs to be, I hope this will teach him a lesson. I'm glad you made, he's not the president no more. I'm glad the new president, Ms. Terry, you and her will work together on this and show Mr. Pearson he's not going to get away with his shenanigans. And as far as those flip-flop teachers, Ms. Terry, and those t-shirt-wearing teachers, they need to go apply to another district and don't tolerate that mess with your children, Ms. Terry. And God bless you, Ms. Terry, and keep
Thank
up
you.
Good work. And I hope Tommy Pearson will teach, well, he will learn a lesson from this mess he done called. Thank you, Ms. Brown.
All right, let's talk about that. He's no longer president of the board. How'd that happen?
The
superintendent, Henry Williams, was removed from his job. How was that vote? I mean, who were the people that participated in that vote? What were the numbers? What was the split?
It was a 5-2.
5-2.
5-2.
5-2.
Yes. And Mr. Pearson had called a meeting, and we've had several meetings within the month. He called an emergency meeting, and he had informed some of the board members that he had some documentation that would verify a reason for suspending Dr. Williams.
Did you get any of that information?
Absolutely not.
Did anybody get any of this information?
Absolutely not. And when I got there, I kept saying...
Well, why did people vote to suspend him?
You know, he's a very intimidating person,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he had been working at this and working at this for quite some time. And I just think that, you know, with all these false accusations, no one actually knew what to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are newcomers,
mm-hmm.
and they're confused,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they really are not aware of what a board member's job is.
So the superintendent, Henry Williams, was suspended. How long did the suspension last?
2 days.
2 days. So 2 days later, there was another vote.
Yes.
What happened at that vote?
I'm very pleased to say that he was reinstated immediately back to his position,
mm-hmm.
And that was just a 4-vote. 3 members did not show up.
And the 3 members that didn't show up were who?
Mr. Pearson, Ms. Oswald, and Ms. Melton.
Well, why wouldn't you show up? Why, they didn't even show up for the vote?
No, they didn't. And, you know, and that really showed me how he is not really aware of what he's doing,
mm-hmm.
because no matter what, there's probably been many board meetings that I didn't want to show up at.
Well, I saw you when you were the only black person on the board, and most of the stuff, 99% of the stuff that went down, you didn't want it to go down, but you were there at the meeting.
You have to go. You have to go. It's part of your job. You have to go whether you like it or not. And I understand that he had been in the office all day, himself and Mary Oswald, walking around like they had been doing for the last past 2 days, and he had made statements that he won't be there, that no one, that I was a fool, and I couldn't count, and there, I won't have 4 votes.
Huh. So he is no longer the president.
Right. His absence allowed him not to be president because he wasn't there to find out what was going on.
1-877-920-WGNU. Jamu.
Yes.
Yes. Question or comment?
Yes. First of all, I'm from Kansas City, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Very familiar with Dr. Williams when he was here. Worked closely with him. I'm a parent in the school district here.
Okay.
And I'll make some comments about Dr. Williams.
Go right ahead. You're talking about Henry Williams.
Right, Henry Williams.
Okay.
Well, first of all, we worked very closely with him. Henry Williams, after he was dismissed from the Kansas City School District, in my opinion, we went through 6 to 8 years of setback. He did very, very well for our students here. In fact, we're going through a superintendent search now, and I wish that Dr. Henry Williams was available to participate in that search and be our superintendent again.
So it was a disappointment to you that he got his job back.
Actually, it's one thing. I really support him, and I want him to be successful, but what I'm hearing on the radio now is so close to what happened here in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the kind of thing where you had a board president who had a vendetta against Dr. Williams, and the community came out and rallied in a support, and then they put in place what we call a poison pill, where they said, Dr. Williams, if you miss any days, if you're late any days, if anything happens, we can fire you without cause. And that really drove Dr. Williams out. And I can tell you, as a community, as a people, we've got to get beyond these personal character assassinations and look at what's in the best interest for us economically so that we can get our educational apparatus in line to support that.
All right. Thank you so much for your call, Jamu.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. Richard.
Yes.
Yes. Do you have a comment? Quickly, please.
Okay. My name is Richard Teese, and I'm the president of the NEA at Riverview Gardens School District. And I just wanted to chime in and let everybody know that what Miss Terry is preaching there is absolutely incorrect.
Which part? We only have a few minutes, Richard, so give us one thing that Marlene Terry is incorrect about.
Well, within that district, they will not allow those teachers to be a part of any of the administration dealings.
Give us one specific thing. Give us something specific.
We are not allowed to deal with the administration in order to teach these kids.
That's a general, broad statement, Richard. Give us a specific instance where a teacher went to the administration on an issue with the children and wasn't allowed to talk to administration about that. Give us a
I can give you some more examples.
You haven't given me. Give me one.
Have perfect evaluations and have been terminated for that.
Terminated for what?
Terminated from their jobs.
For what?
That's a good question. Ms. Perry would be the one to answer that.
So you don't know why the teacher was terminated, but you know that it was a wrongful team termination.
Perfect evaluations.
But you don't know why a teacher could have a perfect evaluation and still do something wrong and be terminated. So do you know the specific reason why the teacher was terminated?
We have no clue.
So then why are you assuming that it was something that is wrong?
Because there's no due process here, and there's no explanation for what goes on.
And who has asked for an explanation, and who have you asked?
Well, our NEA is dealing with the situation.
My question was, who have you asked? Who have you asked?
Who have we asked? We've asked Dr. Williams the reasons why they've been terminated, and there is no response to that.
All right. Marlene, 10 seconds.
Classroom management is probably the worst problem that we have in our schools.
And I would imagine taping kids without their knowledge and without their parents' permission is problematic as well.
Absolutely.
Maybe Richard Tease should address that issue and see what he's going to do about teachers that would tape kids without their parents' permission. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me, and we're going to continue this conversation. Stay with us. I'm taking a break.
Families in trouble, more and more people.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU.
This poll helps explain the political calculation behind President Bush's support for a gay marriage amendment. Just about 4 in 10 Americans share his position, but the intensity of their sentiment is quite high, and that can motivate turnout in the November election. People who oppose gay marriage are twice as likely as other Americans to feel strongly about the issue, and nearly 3 times as apt to say they'll only vote for congressional candidates who share their view.
Survey of 1,000 voters has a 3-point margin of error. Some of the suspected 17 Canadian terror suspects face the judge today. ABC's Aaron Katursky.
The court appearance may shed more light on the large counterterrorism sweep that some in the Muslim community here question. 12 men and 5 juveniles were arrested. The adults, who range in age from 19 to 43, are each charged with participating in a terrorist group. 6 of them are charged with planning a deadly explosion. 3 are charged with importing guns and ammunition for terrorist purposes.
The U.S. government has ordered border agents to search more cars crossing the Canadian border. President Bush is heading to the other U.S. border with visits to New Mexico and Texas and then on to Nebraska.
The point of this trip to border checkpoints is to convince doubters in Congress that security is indeed going to be more muscular, that illegal crossings will be reduced. The president's second day will be spent far from the border in Omaha, Nebraska, where immigrant education and support is being provided by Catholic Charity.
ABC's Ann Compton traveling with the president. Might be time to change the textbooks. A lot of them are wrong about the young Abe Lincoln. The former president was described as cash-strapped but carefree in his youth, but it turns out he may have owned at least one building. This is ABC News.
When my baby left for college, I took some classes of my own.
Left, right, turn.
Dance classes. That's when I started needing a pain reliever for my sore legs. Then I upgraded my computer and had to get a headache medicine, too. For every new pain, I had a different pain reliever. But now I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt. And nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed. Compared to OTC pain relievers.
May I help you?
How much is this goldfish?
99 cents.
How's his temperament?
Huh?
Does he bite?
I don't think so.
Is he good with children?
Yeah,
can he do any tricks?
Well, he wiggles pretty good.
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Is he allergic to seafood?
Just shellfish.
See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Well, they say close only counts in horseshoes, and that's too bad for a teenage LPGA sensation who tried to become the first woman to compete in the men's U.S. Open.
Over 2,000 spectators followed Michelle Wee for 36 holes of sectional qualifying. It had the feel of a major championship, but the course lacked the security and ropes to keep fans in the right place, and some wandered to areas that they shouldn't have been. But no question, Michelle enjoyed the company.
I didn't really think that this many people will come today. You know, this is a qualifying round, but it was awesome. I mean, the fans were very supportive of me, and they're, you know, rooting for me all the way, and it was a lot of fun.
It was was a long day, but one she'll never forget. Todd and ABC News, Summit, New Jersey.
Too many kids are missing school in Waterbury, Connecticut. So many, in fact, that school officials are considering a tough new policy that would make almost all absences unexcused, including routine illness. A doctor's note wouldn't cut it under the new plan, only proof from mom or dad that the child has a chronic condition like diabetes or asthma. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a state trooper is recovering from several broken bones he suffered in a crash in St. Charles County. The Missouri Highway Patrol trooper was trying to make a U-turn to pull over a motorcycle yesterday morning on Highway 94 near Highway 40. A truck broadsided the trooper's patrol car and forced it into a third vehicle. The 27-year-old trooper remains hospitalized. Two other adults and a child suffered less serious injuries. There's still no word on the cause of a fire at an Arnold Assisted Living facility. The fire broke out yesterday afternoon at the Woodland Manor Nursing Center at I-55 and Highway 141. One unit was destroyed. No one was injured. Investigators believe the fire may have started in a kitchen area. Finally this hour, students at Edwardsville High School won't have to walk across a busy street next year. The Edwardsville School District is using a $384,000 state grant to build a student walkway underneath Center Grove Road to the student sports complex. Edwardsville School Superintendent Ed Hightower says this will prevent accidents like in the past when students have been struck by oncoming cars.
We have had two accidents, no fatalities, but we have had one serious accident and another one minor accident.
Hightower says the grant will also save the school money because $100,000 a year is currently spent to bus students across the street. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Try Sonic's tasty and hearty bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast burrito. Make it a combo with Sonic's classic tots or fries and regular coffee or soft drink. Breakfast at Sonic. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We're looking at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Westbound 270 at Lindbergh and McDonald Boulevard. Look for an accident. Two left lanes are blocked. Southbound 55 from Union to Rivas Barracks. Look for a road construction there. Northbound 270 from 55 to Chesson Ferry. Disabled vehicle in the left center lane is blocked. Traffic is slow at the scene all the way through 44. Eastbound 44 from the Chrysler Plant all the way to Merrimack River Bridge. Looks good. Northbound 55 from 141 to Lindbergh, no problems there. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason, look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 70 from K to 79, heavy volume there. Westbound 270 at Illinois 203 all the way in the Canal Bridge, look for slow traffic. Westbound 40 at Missouri exit, Broadway is closed due to bridge construction, and all your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are stacked up at this hour, as well as the westbound King Bridge approach is stacked up as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Money's tight these days. Good thing you can get one of four tasty extra value meals like a Big Mac sandwich, medium fries, and a medium drink, all for under $4 every day. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday for today. Partly cloudy, chance of thunderstorms this afternoon, high in the mid-80s. This evening, partly cloudy, another chance for showers, low in the upper 60s. Wednesday and Thursday, pretty much mirror image, mostly sunny both days with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 67 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting the same. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Our power. Please do not beg, hope, for
Mr. King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
In this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. We've been talking about our children, in the last hour we were talking about our children, the challenges that they face in the educational system. The heads up that parents and educators and citizens have in order to protect our children and the things that they need educationally. What should we be putting in our kids educationally, and who should be putting the information into them? Well, here's another heads up. We need to be concerned about the stuff that is going into our children unbeknownst to us. We've talked about this before. Pesticides and the role of the EPA in getting pesticides to you. I guess it wasn't enough that the pesticide corporations are now able to test on pregnant women, test their chemicals on pregnant women and children. Now, apparently they want more. Apparently they want more. And amazingly, it seems like the EPA is trying to give it to them. We need to talk about this. And to facilitate that conversation, Jeff Rook, he is the executive director of PEER. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Just fine.
So they're not done yet. The chemical companies are not, they want more.
Yes. The Environmental Protection Agency has a deadline of this August to make a decision on some of the most powerful pesticide agents that are derived from actually nerve gas agents. They're chemicals like malathion and methylbromide, some of the most controversial chemicals. And EPA's own scientists have risen up in an unprecedented protest saying that the agency is moving ahead, cutting corners and ignoring what the evidence suggests, which is these chemicals may have an irreversible effect on unborn and developing young children.
Now, Jeff, let me ask you this. If these chemicals had been found in high concentrations in Iraq when we were looking for weapons of mass destruction, could they have claimed that they found them?
Boy, given the way history is rolled out, I'm sure they'd try and make a case that
I mean, because that's how deadly these chemicals are.
Well, that's right now is the $64,000 question. EPA is supposed to decide whether or not they're too dangerous for widespread commercial release. Their scientists are saying they are too dangerous, or there are significant data gaps that can't be ignored, and EPA is signaling to its own staff, better get on the train because it's moving off the tracks.
And there are scientists that are very, very concerned about this and vocal about this.
Yes. Last week, 9,000 scientists through their representatives signed on to a letter of...
9,000.
9,000. That's virtually every scientist who works on this within the agency has signed on to a letter of protest to the administrator of EPA, Stephen Johnson, pointing out that not only has the agency's own outside scientific advisory panel warned about these dangers, but EPA's own inspector general just issued a report earlier this year saying the agency certainly doesn't know enough to go ahead with the approvals. But the deadline for this decision is August 3rd.
And in terms of how these chemicals would be used, how would they come into the average household?
On food.
Huh?
On food.
Huh?
There's primarily agricultural use, and so they are in residue amounts on fruit and vegetables primarily. One other big area of concern are the people, particularly the women, who are working in the factories where these chemicals are made or mixed.
Because
their children.
Right now, what are these chemicals being used for?
They're being used, for example, primarily to kill weeds and bugs in strawberry fields and other fruit and vegetable fields.
And in terms of the 9,000 scientists that are signed on to this, these are scientists within the EPA itself?
Yes.
Has this ever happened before?
No. No. And certainly, I've been doing this kind of work for about 20 years. I've never seen an internal protest like this of this dimension over an issue of scientific integrity.
And that's what this comes down to, scientific integrity.
Yes. The scientists indicate in their joint letter that they feel that their colleagues are being put under political pressure, primarily by agricultural interests, and the pressure is also being reflected by their own chain of command.
How much money does this represent to the chemical industry?
Boy, it's a significant amount of money, particularly over time. This decision will be a final decision. These chemicals, in essence, have been on probation for the last decade. Well, EPA did this review, and so ultimately it's going to mean hundreds of millions of dollars for the companies.
That they will have, how does that work? It will mean hundreds of million dollars. How?
Because they're selling these agents to farmers, not only in this country, but worldwide.
Now, how has the rest of the world responded to the use of these types of chemicals in the form that our EPA wants to use them?
A few countries, such as Britain and countries in Scandinavia, have banned these chemicals altogether. But most of the developing world, Asia and Africa, have not. And so, actually, as has been the case with agents such as DDT, even if it's banned in this country or it's used restricted, it's quite possible it'll find its way to the fields of these countries.
So what response do you expect to happen out of this, Jeff? The 9,000 scientists signed on to it. It was an unprecedented move. What kind of ramifications or rumblings are we hearing as a result of this letter?
Well, we're not sure. It's quite unlikely, given the composition of the current Congress, that there'll even be oversight hearings or even really a peep. We haven't really heard much, certainly from the majority party. We've heard some notes of concern from Democratic members. We don't know whether or not any of these concerns are going to be reflected in the EPA budget, which is currently the way policy gets made, because Congress is too divided to do much by way of real lawmaking, and so most of the fight takes place in the context of trying to approve the agency's budget each year.
Mm. Now, are there any other ways that this, if the use of this chemical is approved, is it strictly for use in for agricultural purposes, or can this chemical now begin to wind its way into other things in our life?
They're supposed to only be used for the approved use, mm-hmm. and that's primarily for application on the fields. But because they're residue amounts, it will find its way into our refrigerators and salads and everything they come in contact with.
And again, the history of this chemical is what?
Well, they're from a family that were derived from nerve agents, that were developed by the Nazis in World War II. They're very lethal, which is part of their appeal as commercial poison, and that's what they are. And they have found fairly widespread application. Some of the more concentrated cousins of this family have already been banned, and the Clinton administration was on its way to banning them in the mid-90s. The Congress, which had recently been taken over by the Republicans, sort of rose up, and there was a compromise. And the compromise was this 10-year probationary period from 1996 to now 2006. So the question is whether or not these chemicals are going to pass probation.
When we talk about these chemicals having an adverse effect on fetuses, on infants, on children, what are the studies showing that happens to these children with exposed with exposure to these chemicals?
Well, the damage is to their nervous system, and the term is neurotoxicity. And I'm a labor lawyer, not a scientist, so I can't exactly tell, except that it means long-term damage to the person's cognitive ability, personality, and just basic ability to function. It's the central nervous system that's the target here.
When you talk about the fact that there has been pressure, political pressure by the chemical industry, what's the evidence of that?
Well, other than the testimony of these individual scientists, we just displayed on our website, which is peer.org, an example of something. So the chemical industry had private meetings with the president's Office of Management and Budget.
Kind of like the energy meetings?
Yes. We were able to get the notes of the meeting and display them on the website. And actually the topic there was the need for human testing to develop the evidence to justify EPA's decision to approve these chemicals. So one of the lobbyists for the pesticide industry overall association is called Crop Life. The Crop Life representative said, when you're talking about kids and chemical testing, the quote was, never say never.
Huh?
Never say never.
Wow.
And these rules, as we've talked about in previous programs, are so riddled with loopholes, so that, for example, if the children are exposed because they're workers, so, for example, a lot of the farm workers have their children with them and they're really working as well, those aren't considered ban chemical tests. And a large part of the population that's most heavily exposed to these chemicals are the farm workers and the factory workers that basically have their hands in the agent.
So am I hearing you say that no harm, no foul if the testing goes under those circumstances?
That's correct. That's correct. As a matter of fact, you can also test intentionally dose pregnant women and children with pesticides, provided you don't use it for purposes of registration. These rules were written by very clever lawyers, so that they're more loophole than rule.
And these are all recent?
These are all recent, all this year, and all of this is being driven for the most part by approval of a small armada of these pesticides.
Now, is there anybody besides the chemical industry that are taking advantage of these loopholes for human experimentation? So, I mean, so will they be the only people with a study that says, see, it's not harmful? Because we tested.
No, there are a lot of chemicals that are introduced into the mainstream of American commerce each year. I think there's 1,700 new chemicals. So it's everything from heavy manufacturers. There's a lot of concern about the family of chemicals that are involved in products like Teflon and Scotchgard. And in addition, one of the major areas of controversy concern chemicals that have military applications. The one that's received a lot of attention is perchlorate, that's now polluting the groundwater in about 25 states. And the question for these defense contractors and the department is how much cleanup do they have to do? In other words, how much perchlorate can a person drink before they're harmed?
Mm. So what should people do, Jeff?
They should write their member of Congress, and they should get really angry. That unless Congress does something, this cycle isn't going to be broken.
So this is going to happen. I mean, this doesn't require a vote from Congress to happen. This doesn't.
No, it will take a vote from Congress to stop it. But on the natural, it it looks like, and these scientists indicate that they're being told by their chain of command to get out of the way. This approval will take place in August.
And while our Congress debates whether or not there should be same-sex marriages or not, or changes to the Constitution for that, we may not get a vote on this.
There's certainly no vote scheduled. It would take affirmative action by members of Congress and some kind of concurrence from the leadership of Congress to alter the course here.
Have any scientists suffered any repercussions as a result of signing on to that letter? Do we know anything?
No, and the letter's only a week old, and mm-hmm. it was so many that it was thought that there was going to be some safety in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And notwithstanding this terrible Supreme Court decision on speech by government employees, they signed it as citizens, so they have First Amendment protection as well as other legal protection. So it's going to be hard for the agency to get rid of all of its scientists.
When the 9,000 represents what portion of the scientists that work for the EPA?
Boy, it's a little more than half of all the scientists that work on all topics for EPA.
Mm. And did this get any notice in Congress? Did Congress feel this?
Boy, I don't know. There was a front page Wall Street Journal story,
mm-hmm.
So presumably it was read by somebody, but our phones have not been ringing off the hook.
And what do you think about that, the fact that you're not getting any phone calls on this?
Well, I wouldn't say right now is the golden age mm-hmm. of environmental protection. And so sometimes there are so many horror stories competing, people's eyes sort of glaze over. And mm-hmm. certainly a lot of the focus is on the next election, which will decide the composition of the next Congress.
Can this be undone, Jeff? If there is a change in the majority in November, is that the failed
thing? Yes, but it's going to be even heavier lifting to undo it once the approvals are made. It's going to be much more easy in terms of the amount of legal and political firepower that has to be brought to stop or stay this decision.
I mean, we're still only talking if it's approved in August, September, October, November, and it's changed and the majority has changed in November. That's only 3 months.
It is only 3 months, but typically, unless there's an overwhelming, like there's a sea change in Congress,
mm-hmm.
there'll still be a closely divided House, and a lot of people, particularly from the Midwest, are very favorable to the pesticide industry. It's likely that any action will take place through the EPA's budget, and that new budget will take effect in October of 2007.
And what does the budget have to do with the impact of this particular this decision?
Through the budget, Congress can mandate that EPA do or not do certain things by withholding money or conditioning money on certain actions. So, for example, the rules that were adopted on human testing for the first time put down even minor restrictions on it were there as a result of a rider that was placed on EPA's budget that says you can't engage in any kind of work until you adopt regulations. So EPA responded by adopting regulations, but they were just very loose.
Mm. And where can people go to find out more information about this, Jeff?
At peer.org, which is our website, and on the front page you'll see links to all of these stories.
And I want to thank you very much, Jeff Rick, Executive Director of PEER. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. Taking a break. I'll be back.
Grandma's hand picked me up each time I fell. Grandma's hands, boy, they really came in a handy. She said, Matty, don't you whip that boy.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This joy I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Be sure to listen to Joy in Jerusalem each Sunday, time 11 until 12 p.m., with Dr. Evangelist Rosella Burks, presenting Elder William Bailey. and Elder Damon Collins, along with other great pastors. Feel the joy every Sunday, time 11 p.m., here on AM 920 WGNU.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Account Temps. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 70 at the exit ramp to 5th Street is closed due to road work there. Eastbound 40 at the Poplar Street Bridge. Paving has two right lanes closed. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. And westbound Eads Bridge traffic, as well as westbound 64 and westbound Kingbridge traffic. Look for some slow delays there, but everything is on the move at this hour. Southbound 55 at Union and Rivas Barracks, there's road construction. There are a number of road construction areas going on there as well, so just use caution as you roll up around this area. Also, westbound 270 between Lindbergh and McDonald Boulevard, look for an accident. Two left lanes are blocked, and traffic is backed up through Old Halls Ferry. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Account Temps, the industry leader with access to over 1 million highly skilled financial professionals. Call or visit them today at accounttemps.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, partly cloudy. Chance of storms this afternoon, high in the mid-80s. This evening, partly cloudy. Another chance for showers, low in the mid-60s. Wednesday and Thursday, mostly sunny both days, high in the mid-80s on both days. And then currently we have partly cloudy skies, 71 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 72. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Does your life need to be energized? Are you in need of some direction and clarity? Is your stuff dragging you down?
Tune into Sort It Out with Lori and Claire, Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. We'll help you find the courage to make a change in your life.
Hi, I'm Amy Cammy.
And I'm Anita Green.
Check out Awaken to Yourself, Tuesday mornings from 11 to 12, where we talk to artists and professionals about ways to improve, enhance, and enrich the quality of your life.
It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Real life. On the cutting edge. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Travel and a rough way to go. And it's a hard road to travel and a rough way to go. But I can't turn back. My heart is fixed, my mind's made up. I'll never stop, and my faith will see me through.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU is my number. I'm here to take your calls and your comments. Give me a call at 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget, and tomorrow,
Tomorrow at 8 o'clock, Elin Harris, one of my favorite authors. He's going to be joining us on the wake-up call to talk about his new book, Say a Little Prayer. You don't want to miss that. It's a book that combines. It combines the issue of the mega black churches, about black churches in the era of faith-based initiatives. It talks about the issue of how the black church responds to church members who are gay. It's really it's a very, very fascinating combination of all of those issues, all wrapped up in a story. A fiction piece, Say a Little Prayer. Say a Little Prayer. It's a really good book. Yeah, it's a really good book. 1-877-920-WGNU. We're probably going to give away one tomorrow during our conversation with Elin Harris, and we'll have one for our giveaway at the end of the week as well. So you don't want to miss that conversation with Elin Harris tomorrow at 8 o'clock on the Wake Up Call. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Yes, Liz.
Yes.
Your guest was very appropriate. Jeff is his name?
Jeff Rook. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I had the opportunity to work for a chemical company myself. What Jeff is expressing is the fact that the EPA, illegal or the billions of particles, they refer to it, billions of particles of the, what Jeff was saying is that the, aspect of the elimination of the bugs, the pesticides here are not approved by the EPA, and they are shipped overseas. This is a fact of concern of Jeff and myself, as well as all Americans here.
Okay.
In this country. It is, Liz, let me speak, that these chemicals are going overseas and sprayed in the vegetables, which Jeff was saying here. I will confirm it with Jeff that these chemicals are sprayed overseas, illegal in America. Then they are shipped back into the country here. Now, what is a major of concern is the children's. Their problems with kids here. You have children with cancer here. And these drugs does cause cancer.
All right, and I want to thank you, Clark.
Listen here, Liz. Listen to me. Listen to Jeff. That the reasons why our children are sick is because of these chemicals here.
All right. Thank you so much. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yeah, Liz, how you doing?
How are you?
I really appreciate the members from the Riverview Garden School District. And I want to make a comment on Dr. Williams. He's an excellent superintendent, and we know of him also from the Kansas City School District back during the time when the courts came in with the DSEG programs. And, you know, during that time, they were starting all sorts of, the whites were starting all sorts of theme schools, Greek theme, Latin theme, and so on and so on. But the parents, the strong neighborhood groups, wanted to have an African-centered program in which they were able to finally have one. But Dr. Williams stood toe-to-toe against the DSEG court, judges, the DSAG lawyer that was appointed by the court, and he was an excellent person there, and I'm sure he would be so here in Riverview, too.
And the challenge, again, in the Riverview Garden School District is the challenge of trying to control this district by people. You know, there are some people in my life that are pastors and that are ministers that are dynamite, fabulous, wonderful people. It is problematic to have a person who articulates that he is a pastor or that he is part of that community, and yet instill the things that he does are so inconsistent with what you're supposed to be pastoring to.
Well, you know, that person, Pearson, has a history going all the way back to GM plant on Union and Natural Bridge when black activists, people in the plant, was trying to remove the racism, the corporate racism, and so forth. And, you know, even they would tell you the story today that they had a problem out of him not doing the things that you expect a person of African descent who would stand up for the rights of black people in a corporate atmosphere like that would do. It just wasn't there.
He wasn't the one. He wasn't going to be the one that would take on that issue or even feel it.
And he's not going to be the one to take on the issue for black children today, neither.
Mm.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. And it's going to be a fascinating discussion tomorrow about the St. Louis Public Schools, because we've had the teachers vote at... What have I been saying on the St. Louis Public Schools? And even when I'm not on that, Craig Williams, who is sitting in the seat of the superintendent at the St. Louis Public Schools, is incompetent. The teachers' union have voted at no confidence in Craig Williams. That's a big deal. It's not enough, but it's a big deal. And we're going to be talking about that tomorrow. And also there's been a demand that Vin Shamel be removed from the pension board, the teachers' pension board. Should have been. I don't know why he is still allowed to be on there when, if you're not a school board president, you need to be off. If you don't work for the district, you're not supposed to be on the board. He should not be on the board, period, dot. And somebody needs to be filing a lawsuit to get him off of the board. And then make him pay the cost of that lawsuit for staying when he knew that he's the one that orchestrated the rules that got everybody else off of the pension board. Make him pay for the lawsuit as well. There are just madness, acts of madness that are going on in our school district. There is a battle for the money. There's a battle for the money. Everywhere across this nation, there's a battle for the billion-dollar money pots that are out there that are sitting in our public schools, and everybody wants a piece of it. 1-877-920-WGNU, and if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. And please watch the news for tonight, because we have elections that are going down. Elections that are going down all across this country. Primaries that are happening that are going to determine who will control. But it will give you a clue as to where people are. Republican versus Democrat in our in California, where we have a Democrat who is running hugely competitively with a Republican in a Republican stronghold, the stronghold of Duke Cunningham, the Dukester. He's now in jail because he stole more money than anybody else in the history of Congress, or he took more graft. He took more bribes. He took more money than anybody in the history of the United States Congress. His greed knew no bounds, and now he's behind bars. So there's someone running. There's a Democrat running in that race, and she's running toe-to-toe. Some cases she's ahead. Some cases she's tied. She's running head-to-head in a Republican stronghold. If a Democrat wins that, it will be a message. The fact that she's running competitively is really a win right there. But if she takes it, I'm telling you, it's going to be a big deal. And that primary is taking place
today. It's taking place today, so you want to keep your eye on that one, because that one is really going to tell us, give us some indication of what we should expect for November. 1-877-920-WGNU is my number. We're going to take a break. Stay with me.
Shall get them that's not, shall lose. So the Bible says, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
Again, to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Washington. A new study by the Center for Public Integrity indicates over the last 5 years, members of Congress and their assistants got free trips from corporations, trade organizations, and a number of other private groups that come to a total of around $50 million. The 23,000 trips surveyed indicate hotel rooms costing $500 a night, corporate jet rides worth $25,000, and visits to popular vacation attractions such as Colorado ski resorts, Hawaii, and Paris are among those amenities. Some of the trips could be classified as legitimate fact-finding junkets, while others were nothing more than high-priced getaways designed to buy influence with congressional members. And Dateline Boston. A report in the Boston Globe indicates the CIA has been covertly sending over $100,000 a month into Somalia so warlords there can do battle against Islamic militia groups inside the country. That effort may also involve the American military. The Bush administration has refused to comment on the matter except to say that the United States will work to disrupt the efforts of terrorists wherever they may operate. Somalia has a population of 10 million people, but has had no effective central government since warlords overthrew dictator Mohamed Siad Barre in 1991. The acting government cannot even operate in the capital city of Mogadishu because of unrest and instead conducts business in the town of Bayota. The Pentagon set up a counterterrorism mission in nearby Djibouti shortly after the September 11, 2001 attacks because it felt that religious-based governments similar to the Taliban could be ripe for establishment in the region. But analysts say that with the United States going directly to the warlords and around the central government, more harm will likely be done than good in the long term to fight against extremism. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
What do hair, feet, wings, and a tiara all have in common?
Find out in the ladies' room every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
You familiar with Ann Coulter?
Coulter? Mm-hmm.
C-O-L-U-T-R-S, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a new book called Godless, The Church of Liberalism.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess all liberals are godless.
Well, it makes for an interesting book title, and it makes for interesting conversation. You know, it's Republican red meat. It's conservative red meat. You know, I mean, why wouldn't they say that liberals are godless?
Well, I don't know much about religion, excuse me, but from the message I've sort of heard over the years, wasn't Christ supposed to be liberal?
Well, he was against the death penalty.
Exactly.
He was for feed the poor, about throwing the money changers out of the temple. Every one of the policies promulgated that I understand, and I'm not a biblical scholar.
Me neither.
So I don't know everything.
And I don't want to go there with all those things,
but I just think that
I sort of got that message over the years.
Mm-hmm.
That he was a liberal.
Yeah.
And one more thing about this wonderful Christian Republican Party that we have up there that's calling everybody else non-Christians. The Pentagon's decided to omit new detainees policies of the Geneva Convention.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read that in the paper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the people of faith, the people that God's on their side. So I guess all the rest of us... I'd better get off the earth because we're in deep trouble here.
Thanks for your
call. Have a good week.
454-0400 is my phone number. Actually, what's happening is that the Pentagon is moving to omit a ban on prisoner humiliation from the basic guide to a soldier's conduct. What they're saying is that the Pentagon is saying, you know what? Let's not say that they can't do this anymore. Prisoner humiliation is okay by us. So when we put together our policies on how we treat people that we arrest and detain, normally we would say we can't humiliate prisoners, but no, we're taking that out. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. And not only is this problematic from a moral perspective, but it also runs contrary to what the Geneva Convention says. The Geneva Convention explicitly bans, and I quote, humiliating and degrading treatment. So help me with this. When the United States stands up and accuses Iran of violating human rights, not following the rules, how can the United States stand and say that with a straight face when the United States, the Pentagon, has said, take it out of the Army manual on the direction for what you can do, what you can't do to prisoners. We want that taken out, the part that says that you cannot humiliate and degrade prisoners. Because we're the United States Army, we're USA, and yes we can if we wanna. So we can, and we don't care what no stinking Geneva Convention says. If we want to humiliate, if we want to degrade people, it's our business. So tell me again how we're supposed to tell other countries to follow the rules. And as a result of this decision, a debate is engaging, or a debate is taking place within the Defense Department. Because the Pentagon is making new, as they make their new guidelines public, There are going to be debates. The State Department fiercely opposes the military decision to exclude the Geneva Convention protections. The State Department has been pushing for the Pentagon and the White House to reconsider. Now, how has this been happening? Because for a year, Rumsfeld et al., Rumsfeld and George Bush, have been redrawing the policies on detainees because they're going to issue a new Army field manual on interrogation. And how significant is this Army field manual? It represents the core instructions to U.S. soldiers worldwide. So when you see, so next time, when you see those photographs of prisoners with hoods on, you know, like the Klan, with electrodes tied to their genitals, connected to their genitals, even though the Army would argue it wasn't connected to any electrical source. It was there to humiliate them. The next time we see those photographs, the Army will say, look, our manual, we can do this. Don't be alarmed. This is what we do. And it says so in our book. And they would call that progress. That is considered progress. Because what this administration is saying is this. George W. Bush, Boy George, is saying, we will not be bound by the Geneva Conventions, and our soldiers will not be described as abusers in Abu Ghraib or in Haditha. If the rules say that we can do this stuff. So you don't change the behavior, you just change the definition of the behavior. I guess the Army's position on Abu Ghraib is that based on the way that they're trying to rewrite the Army manuals, is it, that wasn't so bad. That wasn't so bad. And it wasn't wrong. And as to the reputation of the United States, as it stands right now, as the sound of my voice, at the sound of my voice, there are millions of people in all kinds of countries, in dozens and dozens and dozens of countries out here, that are convinced that the United States is busy torturing people. They're convinced of that. And let me ask you this. How would you treat a neighbor that you knew tortured people? How would you treat him? Would you invite him over to the house for breakfast? Would you believe that they were a good person? Would you try to enter into business deals with them? Would you trust them? How does the rest of the world deal with a country that they're convinced is torturing people? And then when they read their handbooks, that's the proof. That's the smoking gun. Yeah, we do torture people. And you need to know this. For decades, it has been the policy of, not only just the policy, but the official policy of the U.S. military to follow the minimum standards for treating all detainees as laid out in the Geneva Convention, the minimum standards. But in 2002, Boy George suspended portions of the Geneva Convention for captured Al-Qaeda and Taliban fighters. His orders superseded military policy, and at the time, it touched off a debate over what we're supposed to do and what we're not. Well. This is what happens when you put him in charge. He's carving out a place in history that the rules of how we treat people are changed forever. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Mike.
Yeah, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
But, you know, America tortures people. That's nothing surprising. All you got to do is go behind any police back room and they beat up people like dogs. So that's nothing surprising.
All right, Mike. Thanks for your call. Going to the top of the 9 o'clock hour, stay with me.
You were born with power.
And people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution with the air of the brothers of the
issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. This is Election Day in California. Voters are deciding a measure backed by a Hollywood heavyweight. But will it make the grade? Here's ABC's Alex Stone.
Movie director Rob Reiner is pushing a proposition that would tax California's wealthy to pay for a universal preschool program. It's being touted as the preschool for all proposal. Every four-year-old in the state would attend preschool at no cost to parents. But it's been a tough sell for supporters with high gas prices. Californians seem unwilling to impose another tax.
There are also primaries in several other states. Some of the 17 accused Canadian terrorists will face the judge today. ABC's Aaron Katursky in Toronto says both sides of the case are hoping to get some questions answered.
Police here suggest the 17 people arrested posed an imminent threat. They had the capability and the intent, ABC News was told, to detonate a fertilizer bomb three times the size of the Oklahoma City blast. Possible targets included the Toronto Stock Exchange and the Parliament Building in Ottawa, where alternative sites for the House of Commons have now been selected.
Getting across the border may take you longer. U.S. border agents have been ordered to search more vehicles. President Bush is heading to the other border today to push his immigration reform ideas. One stop, Laredo, Texas. ABC's Mike Von Frem is there.
The first National Guard unit has just arrived on the border. With heavy equipment, they've begun building corrugated metal fences topped with barbed wire in San Luis, Arizona. The Guard also has eyes in the sky. Not only helicopters, but high-flying stealth aircraft with state-of-the-art forward-looking infrared radar.
The president will also visit New Mexico and Nebraska. The Senate continues its debate on a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage. So far, it doesn't have the votes to pass it. An ABC News poll says while most Americans oppose same-sex marriage, they believe it's an issue that is best left to the states. ABC News Money Scope, the Dow is down 11 points in early going, and the NASDAQ is off 10. This is ABC News.
When my baby left for college, I took some classes of my own.
Left, right, turn.
Dance classes. That's when I started needing a pain reliever for my sore legs. Then I upgraded my computer and had to get a headache medicine, too. For every new pain, I had a different pain reliever. But now I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt. And nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed compared to OTC pain relievers.
May I help you?
How much is this goldfish?
99 cents.
How's his temperament?
Huh?
Does he bite?
I don't think so.
Is he good with children?
Yeah,
can he do any tricks?
Well, he wiggles pretty good.
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Is he allergic to seafood?
Just shellfish.
See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Usually a U.S. Supreme Court decision is enough to make someone give up a fight. Then again, the justices haven't met some very tenacious homeowners from New London, Connecticut. ABC's Gil Fox has this story.
The case was one in which the Supreme Court's decision mystified many. The case from New London, Connecticut wound up with a decision that said government could seize private property for a private commercial development. As unpopular as the decision was, the plan to build a hotel, upscale condos, and a convention center in New London by seizing private homes is moving forward. The city council has voted to begin the eviction process against two families in the area, a process that may take several months. Lawyers for the families say they will continue to fight. Gil Fox, ABC News.
Now, you probably know that you can save money if you buy generic drugs, but a survey by Express Scripts, a pharmacy benefit plan manager, says you may save more than you realize, in some cases up to 60%. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, the superintendent of the Riverview Garden School District is back on the job. According to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, four members of the school board met yesterday and voted to reinstate Superintendent Henry Williams. Williams was suspended last week by a 4-3 vote of the full school board, but one board member switched his vote. The four board members at yesterday's meeting also voted to replace Williams' opponent Tommy Pearson with Williams' supporter Gilda Hester as the board's president. The Riverview Garden School District is the subject of a state audit because of questions about financial management. Traffic headaches are continuing on the Poplar Street Bridge as crews resurface the bridge. Motorists hoping to do something about their commute time are being urged to consider carpooling. Joe Wright, a spokesperson for RideFinders, says more people are considering the free ride matching service.
RideFinders has seen a significant growth over this last year. We've probably had over 1,000 commuters join our program, start carpooling or vanpooling just within the last year, mostly due to gas prices. But again, with this construction coming up, just another reason for folks to try an alternative.
At least one lane in each direction of the Poplar Street Bridge will be closed through Labor Day. For more information on RideFinders, log on to www.ridefinders.org. Finally this hour, Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich is promoting umbilical cord blood donation. Blagojevich signed a bill yesterday that requires the Illinois Department of Public Health to distribute information about cord blood donations to health and maternal care providers. Umbilical cord blood can be stored after a baby's birth for future use by the child or a family member. The governor says the stem cells in cord blood are also valuable for research and for people in need of stem cell donations. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Try Sonic's tasty and hearty bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast burrito. Make it a combo with Sonic's classic tots or fries and regular coffee or soft drink. Breakfast at Sonic. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Account Temps. Eastbound 44 on either side of 109. Look for all traffic to be slipped to the eastbound lanes due to road construction. Two lanes are open in both directions. Eastbound traffic is to see slight delays around Six Flags all the way through 109. Eastbound 70 from Goodfellow to West Florissant. There's road construction. As a matter of fact, there's road construction throughout most of the city and highway thoroughfare, so just use caution and slow down. Northbound 270 from 44 to Marshall has returned back to normal. Westbound 5570, westbound 64, and northbound Route 3 approaches on the Poplar Street Bridge are on the move this hour. Northbound 55 from Park to Poplar Street, however, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Everything else looks good at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Account Temp, specializing in matching highly skilled financial professionals with rewarding temporary assignments. Visit them today at accounttemps.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy day, chance for afternoon showers, high in the mid-80s. This evening, partly cloudy, chance for showers, low in the upper 60s. For Wednesday and Thursday, mostly sunny on both days, high in the upper 80s. Currently, we have 72 degrees and partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is also reporting 72 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Tuesday is the sixth day of the sixth month of 2006. 666.
Some people worship that number, others avoid it. Still others believe that these three digits hold the key to future events and look at everything from a different perspective. Join Reverend David Hartzell, pastor of Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God Church in Bridgeton, and me, Charles Gear, as we examine the mystery of 666 Tuesday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown right here on AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Tonight, I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
In this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. My goodness gracious. My goodness gracious, we need to handle our business here. This hour's open lines for your calls, for your comments. And before I get to you all, let me get to some of this stuff. Let me get to some of this stuff. I guess there is a certain amount of, certain amount of bodaciousness in this administration. Now, there's a lot of bodaciousness. It's kind of like the bodaciousness of, have you ever seen a cat trying to cross a busy street? He sits in the cuff, he sits back, watching the cars go back and forth. And finally, no rhyme to reason, it's not that they don't see cars not coming in any direction, they just finally just decide, okay, I'm putting my head down and I'm rolling. I'm running across this street and that's that. So when I talk about the bodaciousness of this administration, it's that kind of bodaciousness. It's nonsensical, it's foolish, and it is at your own risk of bodaciousness. The special kind of bodaciousness. Because how else can you explain the fact that even though this administration is facing a wave of litigation, challenging its eavesdropping at home, a wave of litigation facing the handling of terror suspects alone, this administration continues to turn to a legal tactic, the state's secrets privilege. In recent weeks, officials have used that privilege to win the dismissal of a lawsuit filed by a German man who was abducted and held in Afghanistan for 5 months. They've turned to this to ask the courts to throw out 3 legal challenges to the National Security Agency's domestic surveillance program. What is this state's secrets privilege? The government says that any discussion of a lawsuit's accusations would endanger national security. You know, I guess the war has just been I don't think that you could have anything better for people that want to do wrong than to have a war going on. Think about it. Corporations prefer, when they go over to countries like Africa or continents like Africa, they prefer that the countries within that continent be unstable. Now, that may run contrary to normal business practices, but think about it. When governments are unstable, then corporations who often have access to more monies than the countries that they are in, at least more consistent money, corporations can then negotiate with the various governmental entities or the individuals that are causing the instability in that country, and they can get those entities or those governments to agree to things that you would never get a stable government to agree to. Environmental concerns are thrown out the window when in unstable governments because nobody's watching this stuff. Lawsuits and fiscal accountability are thrown out the window in unstable governments because nobody's watching them. This allows corporations to go in and to rape, steal, and plunder countries to their own desire. And to their own economic, to the benefit of their corporate bottom line. So, are we turning into one of those countries that we would point the finger at and call a third world country? You know, it's almost as if our instability is invisible. You feel me? Our instability, we are unstable in economically. That's not visible, like starving babies with extended distended stomachs and flies around their mouths. We're not unstable like that. We're not unstable like people crowded, thousands of people crowded into refugee camps. We're not visibly unstable like that. Our instability is an invisible one. We are unstable because we can't afford to stay in our houses. We're unstable because we can't afford to pay for our medicines, or we live paycheck to paycheck. That's a cultural instability that can topple a country just as well as a coup. And our good government is like a corporation that wants to take advantage of the resources of another country. They prefer to go into unstable countries because that's where and when they can make the most. Our government prefers us to be, this administration prefers us to be unstable as well. That's why they whip the war on us. Not a war in our own lands. No. That's an invisible, it's a not visible instability. The war is over in Iraq, but it's causing us all kinds of instability here, isn't it? We don't have the National Guard to call out in Katrina type of incidences. That's an instance, an invisible instability. You know, we don't have the resources for our health to shore up our roads, to pay for our medicines. Because of what's going on in Iraq, that's the invisible instability. And so our good government is taking advantage of this instability of ours by whipping this war on us. Whipping this war on us. And then just like corporations go into these countries and take advantage of them during times of instability, now that we have instability here on in our lands, our government is using every opportunity to come up with, to spy on us. Why? Because we're at war. Our government is not only spying on us, but they also want to say that we can treat people any kind of way, just like this man who was abducted by our good government, held in Afghanistan for 5 months, and now our government is taking advantage of the instability of war, the instability that war brings, and saying, well, government secrets, we don't have to be held accountable for that. This privilege asserted by the Justice Department under this administration has been asserted more frequently than under any other president. In 19 cases. And the only person that did it more times, or that did it close to that number, was Ronald Reagan. This is a privilege that came out of a 1953 Supreme Court ruling, and it was once used to shield sensitive documents or witnesses from disclosure. They're now using it to sniff out lawsuits at their inception. Because once it's asserted, in almost every instance, it stops a lawsuit cold. This administration thrives on instability. It's created the instability like it has in other countries. And it takes advantage of that instability. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. Please don't forget, tomorrow at 8 o'clock, well, tomorrow at 7 o'clock, we have the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. At 8 o'clock, we have writer Elin Harris talking about his new book, Say a Little Prayer. It's a good one. That's a good one. You don't want to miss that interview. 454-0400 is my phone number. And also don't forget on Saturday at 9 o'clock at 1020 North Taylor. That's 1020 North Taylor. The Urban Institute morning meeting. Irene J. Smith and myself, we're going to be talking about the Team 4 plan, how does that connect to charter schools? How does that connect to eminent domain, and how does that connect to the voter ID bill? All of that and so much more. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free is 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. Don't forget that every show is archived at whiterosesociety.org, and also we are streamed at WGNU.net, streamed at WGNU.net. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yeah, you tough. You're a tough cookie. Hey, I think George Bush getting a second opinion from his father, because his father was a vice president with Ronald Reagan. So that's all I got to say.
All right.
He getting a lot of information from his father because he's around his father all the time.
All right. And I don't know. There are a lot of people that would disagree with that, that the father and the son don't even speak. Don't even speak anymore. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call, Donetta.
Hi, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I came in kind of on the tail end. I just woke up on your show this morning. You were talking about the first black woman that was on the school board. Actually, my grandmother, Olivia Ellis Calloway, was the first black woman appointed in 1949 by Mayor Joseph Doris to the school board.
Are you talking about, which school board are you talking about?
The city of St. Louis.
Well, this morning we were talking about Riverview Gardens School Board.
Riverview Gardens,
yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, she actually was the first one in the city of St. Louis.
Okay.
And I'm proud to say that she turned 100 years old this past Sunday on June the 4th.
Bless her heart.
Right.
Bless
and
her.
I also
have you all written a book?
Bio.
Have you all written a book about her?
She's been featured in the African Americans of the 20th Century. There's an article in there. My oldest brother is working on some things about her life. She was committee woman of the 18th Ward. And
y'all need to write a book. Write a book. While she's still here, make get all the information, write the book.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Okay, thanks, Lee.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Willie, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Brown. What I was calling for, and are you aware of the fact that I don't know whether it is a fact or not that one have to have their birth certificate now in order to renew their driver's license?
That is correct, you do. Isn't that something?
That's a pain.
Isn't that something?
And people like myself over 65 and where the heavy hell you're gonna have to dig it up, because too many people of that age really don't have never had to have one or don't know where it's at. But I guess all of this is on the
Homeland Security.
All these people and their president, it's a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
And that's a pain, and also what I understand that they are planning on eliminating now after they have did all the damage, and that was that ignition test. Myself, I know I had an older car. The last car my wife and I bought before she passed some 20 years ago, and I had to get rid of it because it's not it don't come up to standards, and I didn't drive it basically maybe once a year. I just had it, and I could pay tax on it, insure it, and kept the license up. But because of the fact that I was going to have to spend a big book to bring it up all the way up to par for this ignition test, we just get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now I understand that he's getting ready to outlaw that after the damage
has been done.
All
right.
All right, yeah, you have a good one.
Take care of yourself. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Mr. Smith.
Mm-hmm. Just being a graduate of Riverview Gardens, I just had a couple questions for you, Liz. Maybe you could help clarify some.
A graduate of Riverview Gardens.
Senior high.
Senior high. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. 1994. My question is.
You're not so recent. 1994. Okay.
Okay. The thing is the issue on the administration has been going on since I was back there. Why is it such a big problem right now?
Okay, I don't understand your question. You need to be more specific than that.
Okay, they just released someone off the board and then they voted them back. Am I correct?
No, what happened was that there was at the end of the election in April, after the elections in April, the board changed to a different president. The president of that particular, the new president, decided that this superintendent should be removed from office. So he had enough votes to do that, and 2 days later, the board reconvened, rethought what they were doing, and said, you know what, that's crazy. We're going to not only bring this superintendent back after 2 days, but we're also going to change the president of the school board because he's revealed himself to us as not really being in the interest of the children, so they've changed that. That is what has happened.
And that just bothers me because it's to the point now where I went to Jackson State, and from what I understand, Riverview is not even an accredited school as far as a lot of the colleges going on. And I'm just
Okay, so let's slow down.
Okay.
Riverview is not an accredited school as far as a lot of the colleges are
going
on?
They will not accept a lot of students when you put your from Riverview going, just because I have a couple friends of mine, and that's actually how I found out a lot of the black colleges down south as well as the north, east, and west are not even accepting.
Okay, have you called to verify that? Have you followed up on that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, who did you call?
Actually, for one, I started with Jackson State, the college that I went to. Then I called up.
And what did Jackson State tell you about having a degree from Riverview High School?
A diploma from Riverview Gardens. They said that due to the fact that a lot of students, the graduation rate or something like that, and a lot of the students weren't, I guess, in so many terms, academically efficient enough to begin in their curriculum in the first year. I guess some students may have to spend a year, for instance, taking a math course or a foreign language or something like that, just to get to the basic curriculum start of your four-year degree. And I was just wondering.
Wait a minute. And then what? So what did Jackson State tell you? Are they saying that they are not taking kids from Riverview Gardens?
Yes, ma'am.
They said that they are not taking kids from Riverview Gardens.
Yes, ma'am, because
I just want to be clear. Someone in admissions that you talked to at Jackson State said they are not accepting students from Riverview Gardens High School.
Because of a lot of.
Yes,
ma'am.
Okay. All right.
And I guess due to the fact that a lot of them that I guess are applied, they come in and their grades are not where they're supposed to be. Like I said, they have to take a lot of courses. And I'm wondering, is that a trickle down because of what's going on in the administration?
You know what? I'm going to have to follow up on that.
Okay.
I really am going to have to follow up on that.
Okay.
Because I don't think that there is nothing that is going on in Riverview Gardens High School that's different than many school, particularly in light of the No Child Left Behind. I find that very, very hard to believe. I believe that there would be things that schools would say to students that, well, you have to take this because you didn't have foreign language or
right.
you did this.
Right.
That's not surprising because there are different standards all across this nation. But for a college to say that by virtue of where you are graduating
right.
from, that
talking.
We are not taking you. I'm going to have to follow up on that
and check on that. And I actually called a couple more, too. I just started with that one because that's the college I went to. So.
Okay. And that's Jackson State.
University, yes, ma'am.
Jackson University.
Jackson State in Jackson, Mississippi, yes, ma'am.
Okay. I will check on that.
Okay. I really appreciate that.
Thank you for that, Mr. Smith.
No problem.
All right. Bye-bye. 454-0400 is my phone number. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400. We have to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. And my number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me.
You don't have to be old to be wise. The bird doesn't wait till he dies to fly. And emptiness is not for me. Fill me up and spill over me.
Lo sanino es, te voy a ir. register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care.
Explore the relationship humans have with oceans, rivers, and streams at the St. Louis Zoo on Saturday from 4 to 7 p.m. Learn how to play a part in conserving this precious resource. Admission is free. To find out more, call 314-781-0900 or visit stlzoo.org. News to you from WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Tuesday is the sixth day of the sixth month of 2006. 666. Some people worship that number, others avoid it, still others believe that these three digits hold the key to future events and look at everything from a different perspective. Join Reverend David Hartzell, pastor of Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God Church in Bridgeton, and me, Charles Gear, as we examine the mystery of 666 Tuesday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Trouble, I love you. I'll never try to hurt you. I want you to know that I'm here for you forever, true. Cause you're my bad brother, strong brother. There is no one above you. I want you to know that.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Paula.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was the winner of the that African Ancestral Package.
Yes.
And I just got my results yesterday.
Yes.
I found out that I am a member of the Mandinka people in Seagal.
Wow.
Which is also known as the Mandingos.
Wow.
And I found out I've been reading something about Senegal, and it says that archaeologists had found that human presence dated back over 10,000 years.
Wow.
I haven't had an opportunity to go on the Internet to find more about it, but I am so excited. That is in West Africa.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
That is, you know, it's kind of a relief.
It's kind of a what?
A relief.
Okay, and why is that?
Because I've been looking, you know, I wanted so to know where I was from.
Mm-hmm.
I have been working on my genealogy. And to know that I am, I always wanted to go to Africa. I haven't had the opportunity. Now I have something to work toward, and I know where I want to go.
Wow.
You know, on the Ivory Coast. So.
Very good. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you all so very much for choosing me. And this is so exciting. So thanks again. I just wanted to share with you what I found.
All right. Congratulations, and thanks for calling, Paula.
Uh-huh. All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 454-0400 is my phone number. Zena.
Yes. Hi, Liz.
Good morning.
First of all, I was listening to your caller that said he went to Jackson State.
Uh-huh.
And I was surprised to hear him say that they wouldn't accept students from Riverview Garden.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm from East St. Louis, and I graduated 2001 from East St. Louis Senior High School.
Mm-hmm.
And I have about five or six friends who graduated and went to Jackson State.
I find that
not to mention all the people who went to Grambling and Pine Bluff. You know, just to name a few historically black colleges.
I find it very, very hard to believe, and I've gotten their number, and I'm going to call them as soon as I get off the air today, because I know that the city of St. Louis, their district is provisionally accredited like Riverview Gardens.
Yes.
And they had merit scholars in some of the high school. They had a merit scholar in Metro. So
yes.
I find it very hard to believe that a historically black college would say, based on the name of a school, that they would not accept a child from that school. That district is not any different than the city of St. Louis in its accreditation. In
mm-hmm.
fact, it's better, it's closer to accreditation than the city of St. Louis is.
You are so right. And also, I wanted to comment on, about a couple of months ago, there was someone affiliated with Homeland Security was caught with child pornography.
Uh-huh.
And, was arrested on, child pornography charges, but I haven't heard anything about it since the arrest.
I talked a little bit about it on my show, but you are absolutely right. It has not had the focus that it should have.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And that was the only comments I wanted to make. You know, I listen to you every day, so sometimes I just have to call in and let you know that you got young people listening to you.
I appreciate that so much, Zena. And next year, maybe you need to push some more young people in direction of my internship program.
Okay.
Okay.
I heard about it because at first I had the number saved in my phone, but I didn't know if you all were still doing it or not.
Well, are you still interested?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
well, let me give you the number, 367-2743.
367-2743?
That is correct.
I have it down. Thank you.
All right, Zena. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
When Bill Cosby is asked to speak at these different universities at their commencement ceremonies, and whenever he mentions anything about parenting, the next day, it's all over the news, no matter what he says. But let me ask you this, Liz. Have you heard anything about Senator Charles Schumer? He was asked to do a commencement exercise at a university, and the person that was introducing Senator Charles Schumer was a man by the name of Alex Havasel. And he said that Charles Schumer would like to put a gun to a flip-flopping W's forehead and shoot him straight between the eyes. After he said that, it was just almost a hush over the audience. And the next thing he did was apologizing all over the place. And I've heard some people say those were treasonous words, but I haven't seen or heard anything about that over the so-called news. Have you?
I've seen it. It's all over the internet. I've seen it.
Yeah, I'm not privileged to the internet.
Well, I know. I'm telling you where I have seen it.
Uh-huh.
I've seen it on the internet. I also know that it wasn't Schumer that said it. It was someone.
No,
that,
I said the person introducing it.
I understand that. And let me explain my position on this. It is my understanding that it wasn't Schumer that said it, and it's also my understanding that he didn't say that he would go out and put a bullet. In the context of what the person who was introducing Schumer said, that was that if Charles Schumer is such a strong Democrat that he believes in his Democratic principles so much that if need be, if it was on the part of the Democratic Party, he would do that. So that's the kind of the context that the statement was made in. The person apologized for that. I've seen attention played to it on the Republican side of it. So, I don't necessarily understand the connection that you're making with Bill Cosby in this.
No, my connection is that I'm just being a compare and contrast to the fact that if Bill Cosby make a statement, whatever it is, about parenting, that's usually what you hear about. It's all over the news, on TV, radio.
But it's not about parenting, Christine. It's about negative comments. So is your comparison that when Bill Cosby makes negative comments about black people in the context of his parenting comments, that's reported all over the place. But when this person makes a comment about George Bush and putting a bullet in the head of George Bush, that comment is not all over the news. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying just like what you're saying in general, because a lot of people might not think what Bill Cosby's saying is negative. But I'm saying that whatever they believe is that you hear it all day, almost every day after he said it. But there's something that was really, you would say it was asinine for anyone just to make a statement like that.
Okay. Thanks for
your
call.
You don't hear about it.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me.
Time has come today. Your hearts can go that way. Can't put it all another day. I don't care what others say.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
Does your life need to be energized? Are you in need of some direction and clarity? Is your stuff dragging you down?
Tune into Sort It Out with Lori and Claire. Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. We'll help you find the courage to make a change in your life.
We, the believers at El Mukminin Islamic Center, would like to invite and encourage you to join us for our Saturday morning program, Focus on El Islam, 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m., featuring the son of Elijah Muhammad, Imam W.D. Muhammad, his public addresses and lectures on Islam and values of social well-being to the community of humanity. That's Focus on El Islam, every Saturday morning from 8 to 8:30 a.m. on WGNU Radio.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Houston. The 2006 hurricane season is underway, and oil companies are still struggling to repair the damage from last year. The reason is there's a shortage of workers to do the offshore platform rig repairs. As of this month, 21% of oil production in the Gulf of Mexico and 13% of its natural gas production is still out of service. There are over 4,000 drilling platforms located in the Gulf, but most of them were built before 1988 when more stringent construction requirements were enacted, and that's why there was so much damage from the two storms last year. And Dateline Hanoi. On a recent visit to Vietnam, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld made it clear to Vietnamese officials that the United States will not be offering any compensation for damages caused by the use of Agent Orange during the war. But he said that instead, a lot of free advice on how to deal with the chemical will be offered. American forces used Agent Orange widely in the country to destroy forest cover for the Viet Cong, as well as to take away their food supply. Vietnamese officials say millions of residents have suffered illnesses and birth defects because of exposure to the dioxin, which is part of the defoliant's chemical construction. Last year, a court in New York turned down a lawsuit filed by Vietnamese citizens against the manufacturers of the substance, Monsanto and Dow Chemical. Earlier this year, the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, James Nicholson, also paid a visit to Vietnam and was asked why the U.S. offers compensation for its veterans for their health issues, but will not do anything for the Vietnamese people. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Tuesday is the sixth day of the sixth month of 2006. 666. Some people worship that number, others avoid it, still others believe that these three digits hold the key to future events and look at everything from a different perspective. Join Reverend David Hartzell, pastor of Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God Church in Bridgeton, and me, Charles Gear, as we examine the mystery of 666 Tuesday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
What do hair, feet, wings, and a tiara all have in common?
Find out in the ladies' room every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
Hey, pretty baby with the high heel
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Till I can't roll no more. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget on Saturday at 9 a.m. at 1020 North Taylor, that the Firefighters Hall, the Black Firefighters Hall. Irene J. Smith and myself, we are going to be doing our thing, our Saturday morning Urban Institute. You really need to come on out because this is really going to be a fascinating discussion of the Team 4 plan and how, even though it was decades and decades and decades ago, and even though they supposedly didn't do it, oh, it's alive and well in the charter school issue. It's alive and well in the eminent domain issue, and it's alive and well in the voter ID bill. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. So come on out Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Continental breakfast will be served. 1-877-920-WGNU. Robin.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
I've got a question about the young man that called with the comments he was giving about the Riverview Gardens High School diploma and
yes.
Jackson State University.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you clarify, give me some more information about what he was saying, because I really didn't understand what he was talking about.
What he said was that he talked to someone from admission
mm-hmm.
at Jackson University in Jackson, Mississippi, and that the person in administration told him that they were not taking students from Riverview Gardens High School.
Well, you know me being Robin. I just called Jackson State University,
mm-hmm.
and they said they've never told anyone anything like that. They accept anyone who's graduated from high school.
That's what, I mean, it just didn't make any sense to me.
It didn't make any sense to me either.
And I got their number. And
I do too.
Okay, and I was just getting ready to call as soon as I got off the air that to ask to verify that.
I called Ms. Brown, and the number is 601-979. That's correct.
5922?
That's correct, and I talked to Mr. McCullen.
Mr. McCullen from admissions.
That's right.
Okay.
You have a good one.
Thank you so much.
Okay, goodbye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Joyce, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Hi, Joyce. How are you?
I'm doing just great. I just wanted to let you know, and the listening audience, it was a privilege for me to attend the Urban Institute last Saturday. And the speakers that you had, they were so very knowledgeable. They opened my eyes to a lot of things, factors concerning how to choose the right political candidate.
And you got your assignment, didn't you?
I got my assignment.
All right.
And I'm going to be there because I want to know more about Team 4, more about eminent domain, more about the voter ID, more about the charter school. You and Irene, you're doing a wonderful thing for us.
Thank you so much. All right now.
Bye-bye.
454-0400. That's next Saturday, this coming Saturday at 9 a.m. at 1020 North Taylor. Be there. 454-0400 is my phone number. Jim? Mike?
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm outstanding.
You know, it's interesting. They always say the more things change, the more they stay the same. And that's just how they were using real estate and real estate development in the 70s and 80s to usher Team 4 in.
Mm-hmm.
And they are now trying to come through the back door with it through legislation and through the schools.
That's right.
And so the enemy hasn't changed the goal, only the tactics.
Only the tactics. That's absolutely true, and that's brilliant. That's absolutely right.
Now, the other thing that I really called about, and I know you've been paying attention to this, have you been noticing the moves that El Presidente has been making? And you remember in 1984, George Orwell wrote his book. He talked about the combining of law enforcement and military into the state apparatus. And so now, what have we seen here in the last year?
Mm.
We've seen the police, local police, spying for corporate entities.
Mm.
We now have the military, the Pentagon, running the CIA. We have this nebulous glob called Homeland Security, which we don't know what type of people, you know, constitute this. We do know we've already seen one kiddie porn guy up in there using the facilities to entertain himself.
Mm.
So now, the people of this country better be aware of what's going down with this. Because you are now seeing with these moves along the border in the National Guard, okay, we're seeing all of these so-called domestic and military law enforcement apparatuses combined. Now, you're going to have, what you're going to wind up seeing is people been over there in the fire zone in Iraq. They're going to wind up coming home getting thrown down on the border, so-called border patrol.
Mm.
And you're going to have stuff come happen down there. And as we have sat here and watched all of this war, so-called war on terror, we have been watching the Fourth and the Sixth Amendment completely be eaten away.
Don't forget the First.
Right. But what they've done on public, you know, search and seizure and things like that, we don't have any more rights. We certainly don't have any more privacy.
Mm.
And we don't know really what these guys are doing because everything is in secret.
And I'm going to have to quote you as I let you go. The goal hasn't changed, only the tactics.
I hear you.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Mike. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. Shirley.
Yes, good morning, Liz.
Oh, good morning.
I was calling about the man that called about the birth certificate. Are these? I've had masses. I got a Social Security when I turned 62.
Mm-hmm.
But I was wondering, are these the people that I had taken up there yesterday? I got my driver's license renewed. But what I wanted to know, are these the people that had midwives or wasn't born, you know, with just having difficulty getting their birth certificates?
I think there are people that are all over the place that are having trouble getting their birth certificates. Some people are having a financial issue in getting copies of their birth
certificates. It went up on them, haven't they?
Around $15 or
oh,
so.
Okay, I think when I got mine, it was 10 or 15. I forgot now, but it wasn't 15.
Right. It's $15 to get them. Also, the place where you get your birth certificates has changed, so it's down. It's also been moved.
Yeah, I was telling my daughter yesterday because her driver's license is due, and I let her know. You said it was down in the municipal building out of the City Hall.
It's in City Hall.
Yeah.
Right. So if the process has gotten complicated,
mm-hmm.
the process has gotten expensive, and the process has gotten confusing. So those are the challenges that people, and then you have to add into the mix that some people don't have birth certificates. For example, a caller called yesterday and said that because she was born before 1950.
Well, I was born 36.
Okay. Well, she said because she was born before 1950, on her birth certificate, they said baby girl. Let me finish. She said, let's say her name was, her last name was Brown. It said baby girl Brown, as opposed to what her name was Mary Brown. So now she has to go to Jefferson City and get another document to show that baby girl Brown was really Mary Brown. And that costs additional money. And the process of getting that document, it's so backed up in Jefferson City that is, I believe it's a 6 months wait
okay.
to get that information to verify that your birth certificate is who you are. So, and that also, I believe that also costs money if you want it expedited. At least I know it costs
That's
money
terrible.
If you want it. Oh, it's horrible.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
but
horrible.
I guess I was blessed because I was born here.
Okay.
And at St. Mary's. So I told the lady, I hope you can read this because this was in 36, but at St. Mary's Infirmary.
That, okay.
Uh-huh. So it, man did have that, but it is kind of hard to read because
mm-hmm.
I'll be 70 this month.
Bless your heart.
But, feel good, exercise every day.
All right.
So I just want to know what was the problem. I know it's a hardship when you have to run around and you're not able to get around.
And
all this
then there's all. Don't forget to add the money into it as well.
Yes,
all right, Shirley.
My money is very limited.
Thank you, Sarah,
okay,
so much.
Thank you.
All right. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. Very, very special show coming at you tomorrow. Extra special, should I say. The St. Louis Public Schools Watch. We're going to talk about the vote of no confidence for Craig CREG, $25,000 a month, Williams in the city of St. Louis Public Schools. And we're also going to talk to writer E. Lynn Harris on his book, Say a Little Prayer. It's a really fun book. It's a fun book. We're going to talk to him tomorrow as well. Don't want to miss tomorrow. I'm Liz Brown. Until then, stay strong.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that you know that the low name.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop being sister.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory.